is my fourth night in this room.
They had more race series for you. Like Friday, Saturday, I recorded it. Last night, I was up with my friend.
Yeah, really.
Lucky I called my hair at all today.
Yeah, I'm looking at the last minute.
Now you're talking.
I'm in 702.
Hey, Miss Peggy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. It was also posted on the bulletin board, folks. And on the bulletin board. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. That's partially my fault. I said, please remove references to the bulletin board, but I only meant for special meetings. So, apologies. Could we please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Ticton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Allentuck?
Here. And I have on my little green list a number of things to talk about in the mayor's report. I'll leave anything having to do with the fire companies till the end when we talk about old business. A couple of things. We attended the, I and the OEM attended the Shared Service Summit put on by the County of Monmouth, where we discussed a variety of potential shared services, both for the town and for our emergency services. Solaris, which is our mowing contractor, you may have noticed has started. They're doing a really fantastic job. I don't know if any of you have been up to, like, the cemetery. It looks like a baseball field, you know, with those crisscrosses. And I knew that they were doing well when I saw them out in front of the gas station. We have those metal rods for the storm fences, and they were out doing cutting right around the little rings, doing weed whacking. So they're doing a great job. Gas station, we've heard back from the let's call them drug entrepreneurs. They are expressing interest, and I thought, did they come out, Kelly, today?
No, they'll be out Wednesday.
Okay, so they're bringing another team out to look at our gas station. Budget, I'm expecting hopefully a draft budget in the next day or two so we can look it over before we introduce it. A reminder, I had asked about Union Beach. Their fire company is in need of equipment, a lot of equipment. They've asked us for a long list, but they have asked for emergency hoses, I'm sorry, fire hoses on an emergent basis. Apparently, theirs are being inspected. They don't think they're going to pass. And for those of you who don't know, in the last hurricane, Union Beach lost, I think it was four fire trucks, a firehouse, three police cruisers, and basically all of their equipment. We have hose. That hose is classified as either certified or not certified. They can use the certified. We can use the non-certified because what we use it for is things like draining the fire hydrants. So it doesn't have to be fire certified. PSE&G is finally showing up in town. Our deputy clerk and our clerk have been annoying them for about 2 years, not getting responses. Their poor public relations person came in and said, can we sit down and have a little meeting? He had no idea what he was in for. You may have noticed they are now going house by house, checking for gas leaks. Wherever they find one, they're digging up the road or the yard and fixing the leaks. If they are going to come to your house, they are supposed to notify you ahead of time, either by email, knocking on your door, whatever it is. If they knock on your door and you're not there, and they start work, please forgive them. It probably means it's a large leak. I'd rather have them dig than test the results. And their representative, Frank Lucchese, has been down here and has been in contact with us. We also have...
I just wanted to ask, so is it
Do you think they'll go to every house, or is it just a random?
Oh, no, they're walking around. They've been testing every house.
Every house, okay.
They had a leak on the 4 Pine Drive. They dug that up today, and they're still working on that, I think.
Yeah. You'll see a guy walking around with something that looks like, I think, a combination of a stick and a metal detector. They're the guys who are sniffing, sniffing for gas, and when they find it, they mark it, and then the crews come in. Millings, up at the water tower, we have received today a letter from our engineers about the cost and potential solutions for those millings. I honestly have not had a chance to read it, but just to let you know that they have responded. For those of you who don't know, at some point, millings from the road, which is the stuff that they scrape up when they're about to resurface the road, were put up at the water tower and were spread. You can't do that. So we have to cover it either with asphalt or some other mixture. So we're looking at putting asphalt around the whole thing. And code red, the reverse 911 system that you are probably all way too familiar with, is up for renewal. We put out some requests. We haven't gotten any quotes back. If we don't get them shortly, we'll probably just approve a renewal of that. And I'm sorry, I actually skipped a couple of things, but sorry it took that long. Okay, we now come to approval of minutes. Would somebody like to move to approve the March 27 minutes?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any questions or comments on the minutes? There being none, can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. There are four matters on the consent agenda. One is a resolution pledging support for the New Jersey Wildlife Action Plan in support of our application for Sustainable Jersey recognition. The second is a resolution authorizing the repair of the liquid chlorine tanks. Brief explanation, we maintain chlorine at the water plant.
The sewer plant.
We have chlorine everywhere.
We have gaseous chlorine at the water plant. We have liquid chlorine at the sewer plant.
Chlorine hydroxide, I believe.
Sodium.
Sodium hydroxide.
Okay, thank you.
Hydrochlorine.
Sodium hypochlorite.
Yeah.
Where is it? Okay. Those tanks have been leaking. They're in a retaining area, so it isn't causing an immediate health hazard, but it does have to be fixed, and it has to be fixed pretty quickly. So they have to remove the stands on which the tanks are supported, and move the piping to put in the new tanks.
We only had one bidder on that.
No, there were two bids. This was the low bid.
This was one.
Yes. There were three bids sought, but two people came in, and Municipal Maintenance was a low bidder.
Then 1764, Emergency Appropriations. If you have any questions, I believe our CFO is here, is he not?
I saw
he left.
Hop in a second.
Okay, he's hiding, but we'll pull him out if you have any questions.
He left.
Oh, he left him?
He left about 2 minutes ago.
I saw him with
ago,
his
Jeff.
Books
yeah.
in his bag, and he kind of waved as
he...
I can catch him if you want.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Are there any questions about the temporary emergency appropriations? Should we grab him? Okay. And then 1765 is payment of bills. So we're in the public comment for the consent agenda. For those of you who have any questions or comments about the consent agenda. Can I have a motion on the consent agenda, please?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Second.
Ms. Malkin.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Thank you. We now move on to other resolutions, starting with Resolution 1766. Would anybody like to introduce 1766?
I would.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Can I explain what
this
is? So inspector from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection came into Borough Hall saying that he wants to conduct an inspection about our compliance with the Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act. Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act was enacted because of an issue in Bhopal, India, where a toxic chemical was released and many people died. So what TCPA does, TCPA means standing for Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act, but I don't want to say it every time. What TCPA does is it sets thresholds for the amount of a particular chemical that you can have and be exempt. If you're above that, then you have to comply with a fairly rigorous program of ensuring that there's no opportunity for those toxic chemicals to leak into your community. We have been in compliance with TCPA, but we have not had an audit of our compliance for a pretty long time. The way that we stay under the threshold for TCPA is through our purchasing. So for the threshold for chlorine is 1,000 pounds. We only order 900 pounds of chlorine, and we make sure we use up the chlorine before we get a new shipment. That is essentially what the inspector would like to come in and inspect. The resolution which is on here is to ask our engineer to, first of all, make sure that we are in compliance, but second of all, to look at, is there any other chemical we could use that would be less toxic or that would not have this TCPA issue hanging over us? Because all we would need to have happen is that we ordered one day too soon on the next shipment of 900 pounds, and we would be over the 1,000-pound threshold, and we'd be subject to TCPA. Subject to TCPA is, it's not only a lot of stuff to do in terms of programs to come into compliance, but the fees that are charged are $8,000 a year, which we really don't have in the budget. So we want to not be subject to TCPA.
Only question, this is the chlorine that's in the water plant?
Correct.
And how is it contained now? It's just in a building by itself or a room by itself? Or
yeah, there's a room. It has a special door. It has a window in the door so you can look in and make sure nobody's collapsed in there. It complies with all of the safety regulations for storage of chlorine. Mm-hmm. The chlorine does two things. We chlorinate the water that comes from the well on its way to the aeration tower so that the chlorine assists with pulling the iron out of that water. Mm-hmm. And then chlorine is used as a disinfectant. So it's effective as a disinfectant. Yep. It's just...
Yep. Any other comments, discussion at the table about 1766?
Yeah, I have some questions and some comments. We have been in compliance, but we don't know if we're still in compliance with it.
I believe we're still in compliance, but I would like that assurance before the inspector returns because it would be a hefty problem if we're not.
And what does that mean? Would we get fined immediately, or would we be given time to...
We'd probably be given an AO na kappa, an administrator order of noncompliance, and then there would be... negotiation period to come into compliance, but what we would be subject to immediately is the $8,000 fee for being, or $8,000 plus, for being a TCPA facility. So that is regardless of any penalty for noncompliance. The fee itself is so high that I would like to avoid that.
But you also wanted them to come up with a potential substitute.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If there is one, I don't know.
There's no cost specified in this resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea of what the bracket would cost on that?
Do you want to put a cap on it of $2,000 in engineering fees?
No, I have more concerns that actually I should address before I address that. I'm not sure it's in the best interest of taxpayers to use this particular vendor, since at this time, from what I understand, there's $100,000 of bills that are floating around out there that we have no idea how we're going to pay, or if we're going to pay. And the vendor, I would really consider this to probably be somewhat of a hostile situation here, where you have a vendor who wants to get paid their $100,000, and we're in a very precarious position where we don't know how we would do that. We don't know any legal way to do it. We don't know if we actually can or should pay those bills. And it creates a situation where I think if the vendor wanted to, they could manipulate the process to try to make back some money that they feel that they might not get. And so I really think that we ought to think about the possibility, if we're going to do this, of looking for some other engineering firm to take a look at this and do it.
I would suggest
maybe
that
Carmela Roberts or somebody who used.
Mike, we do have a specific comment, specific contract with R3M for this year to handle these types of matters. And I would point out two things. One is they have not been at all hostile. I talked with them 3 or 4 days ago. There wasn't the least bit of hostility. And the second is you made a flat-out statement, which is it's illegal to pay them. I would respectfully disagree with that, so let's leave that as we disagree. But I'm sorry?
Maybe.
Okay, whatever. I don't want to leave the wrong impression. So we do have a separate contract. We authorized up to, I think, $60,000 or $50,000 for this year to handle emergencies such as pipe breaks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm not questioning whether or not we have the funding to do it or have the passive resolutions to do it. I'm really questioning whether or not we should use this vendor because of the situation. I mean, you may get all the assurances that you want from them on the process. That, hey, we're still good friends even though you owe us $100,000 and don't know how you're going to pay it. But I really think that we should err on the side of being careful and cautious with taxpayers' money. We have other people who are very knowledgeable engineers of our utilities, specifically Carmela Roberts.
We did dismiss Carmela Roberts for a reason. So if you have another. Well, we would have to take bids.
Well,
when's the inspector coming back? Let's start there.
Right. So the inspector's coming back probably within the next week. He wanted to come back last week, but I wanted to get the resolution before the council. But it's fine if you want to turn down the resolution. But then if we become subject to this, it is a tremendous cost to the town. But I believe that the engineering firm could do this. If you want to put a cap in the resolution of $2,000, I think even $1,000 is probably enough to conduct this audit and to have a engineer, to verify our continued compliance.
I think it just doesn't seem sensible to use R3M. When we have had, we were told that they were told to cease all work, but we received bills right through December 31st.
I did a very in-depth analysis of those bills over the last week. Only a small portion of those relate to work prior to the cutoff date, and they were advised in my telephone conversation that whatever discussions we may have, they relate only to that work which was done prior to the cutoff date, was about November 14th.
And you're going to tell me that they worked for 7 hours on New Year's Eve on Roosevelt's
what?
Study? According to the bills, they worked 7 hours on New Year's Eve reviewing Roosevelt's water sewer.
Well, that was after November 14th, so it wouldn't matter.
Well,
the bill for $26,441.50,
mm-hmm.
dated December 31st. I reviewed that in depth as well, and almost all the charges in there were after that December
November 8th.
When we were notified and we knew that we really shouldn't, we didn't have the authorization or the funding to incur those bills. I don't know when they were notified.
At the risk of my repeating myself, that's what I just said, Mike, is that, yes, the last bill, the $26,000 bill, relates substantially all to matters which happened after November 14th,
right.
with the exception of certain emergent matters.
Well, there were two bills. There was an $18,544 bill and a $26,441. The $18,544 bill is one I thought you were talking to about, which was mostly that work was done before the date that you mentioned. But the other bill was done after that date. And only a small amount of it, from my review, were due emergent matters, water main, the water main break that happened.
Absolutely. At the water facility.
But I just think we ought to be really careful using a vendor who we're really in a very difficult situation with right now. There's no bond to pay those bills. They're without appropriations. And I think it's not a good idea to use a vendor, even for a small amount, when you really don't know, nor do we trust how that's going to be handled by them. I gave my input. People can talk about it, decide what they want, but I don't think it's a good idea.
If you look up at the screen, Mike,
mm-hmm.
you'll see that the last bill was 13,000. I'm sorry. In the last bill, $13,285.
You just got a little bigger.
All on four screens.
We really need a bigger screen, by the way.
We'll deal with that in between meetings.
Help with that. This may get really big, but forgive me. Oh, yeah, that's really good. So if you go to the bill of I really wasn't going to get into this, but if you go to the bill of January 9, you'll see 1,311 marked in blue. You'll see 10,486.5 marked in blue. Those you will note below are past cutoff date. 1,359 included some emergent matters. That was what we call the general work, okay? And as you can, well, unfortunately not see in its entirety, I've gone through each one of those bills, broken out what constitutes emergency work, because part of the issue, apparently, obviously, is whether or not we were bonding a study for them. So I have separated out the study material versus the non-study material. And I have separated out as well each project by category, what was water, what was sewer, what was EIT, sewer planning, et cetera. So while we are talking about $100,000, or you're talking about $100,000, the issue of would be $100,034. Okay, of that, you have $14,285 in reimbursables. You have $7,500 in general tech. General tech is they come out to fix something, like a broken shaft. And then you have three matters it's about $31,000, $32,000 that relate to the Rochdale project.
You mentioned, what was it, $13,285?
Mm-hmm.
That was for flow meters. That was part of the sewer system planning study. So I would say that we're talking close to $24,000 of that bill being part of the study.
Well, I'm not sure, since those were out-of-pocket expenses,
yeah,
and we generally cover the out-of...
It was listed under that category as part of the study reimbursement.
Okay, put your $13,000 back in, and you're back up. You're now up to $67,000 from your $100,000.
But my point is not about the particulars of the bill. It's about the fact that we... we have a really...
You don't like them. I got it.
We're in a really... Yeah, we have an adversarial relationship, and I don't care...
I don't know that we have an adversarial relationship unless we make it.
No, it is adversarial by nature, and I don't think it's advisable. I would really strongly recommend against using a vendor where there's $100,000 in dispute, and they don't know if they're going to get paid, and we don't know how we would pay it even if we wanted to or could.
Okay, I believe I said $65,000 in dispute, but regardless, are there any other comments from the table? Questions? Can I have a roll call?
Well, the only thing is in regard to the amount. Maybe there should be an amount in there so it is known how much should be encumbered.
Would you like to amend your motion to...
Sure. We can say
maximum $2,000?
Up to $2,000. I think it'll be much less than that, but I feel comfortable with that.
Okay. Can I have a roll call, please? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need it from the second as well? Who was the second?
The amendment. Yeah.
That's okay. Thank you. Okay. Can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapodi?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
Okay. Can I get somebody to introduce Resolution 17-... I'm sorry, that means it's passed, folks. Resolution 17-64. Authorizing temporary emergency appropriations number 4.
That's in the consent agenda, is it not?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. Okay. Sorry, 17-67.
He's coming back.
Beth, I need a better sippy cup. And I was remiss, for those of you who are not at the last meeting, the gentleman at the end of this table is Mr. Steve Kleinman. He's an attorney. Their firm is generally retained as our labor attorneys. He is here because Mr. Shackley, our municipal attorney, also represents Monroe Fire District Number 2, and therefore any discussion about those fire companies would be a conflict on his part.
So if anyone mentions that, you'd be prepared for me to run out of the room, you know why.
Yeah. he may do na-na-na, but same thing. Yeah. All right. Do I have somebody introduce 17-67?
In the last vote, did we vote on the amendment, or did we actually vote
on the... We voted on as amended at 2000.
As amended?
Yes.
Amended
at 2000. The person moving the resolution agreed, made the change, seconded the change. 17-67, authorizing advertisement of bids for a plenary liquor license.
Move resolution 17-67.
No,
1767 authorizes us to sell a packaged goods license at auction in the town. The minimum in the town or out of the town, minimum price bid was set at $150,000. Is there any discussion at the table? Questions?
In the town or out of the town? You can sell it to another town?
Certain licenses, I believe, can be or are pending to be permissible out of town. I'm not sure whether that was...
What?
Not sure whether that was finally passed. Yeah, there was some there was legislation.
I thought it had to be within the municipality. Right?
Huh?
I thought it had to be within the municipality.
Yeah.
If it does, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
we don't want to...
I haven't heard of any change of the law. No, my understanding is you sell it for the municipality. You have one... you can sell one retail
right.
distribution and one retail consumption for use within the borough.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know there was legislation that changed that. If it hasn't passed, it doesn't matter. We'll sell it in the town.
It would be news to me.
Well, I think if the one that was changed would be if you have a winery and you can use their wine in your restaurant or something like that. I think
that was certainly a change, but there was recent legislation. I don't know where it is in the process.
Okay.
It may have been defeated.
So legislation gets introduced very few
right.
bills
anyway. Right. Agreed.
Okay. One of the comments, I think there was some reference in here that the specifications are attached. I think it's in the last paragraph. And maybe we should take that language out because they're not attached. I mean, you don't need it to pass the resolution,
right.
but...
Okay. So let's remove last paragraph?
Well, I think...
I know.
It
is the last.
Yeah.
Be it further resolved. We did have it in another one.
When they pulled it out to check the dates.
Yeah, I guess if you take the last one out, so the last one says that the terms and conditions that we set forth in the notice, well, you can say shall be set forth in the notice of bidder specifications and proposals, period. Instead of saying they're attached here, too.
Proposals, period?
Yeah,
period, yeah.
And there is no reference to selling out of town that I could see in here. So that wouldn't...
That would control who can attend the auction. It has nothing to do with what's in the actual document.
Okay.
Well, someone from out of town can buy it. I mean, yeah. That's what you're talking about.
No.
All right.
Any further discussion? No. Would you please call the roll on 1767?
As amended?
As amended, yes.
One more quick question, Mayor. The money would go into the general fund in the town, or?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
One big party.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
For me.
Sorry. I know. I just realized that. I'm like, why am I one sure? Yeah. Sorry. Mr. Tickton?
Mr. Tickton. Thank you.
I didn't mean to upstage you there, Mike. Right?
I comes before R.
There you go. Yep.
I'd like an introduction of 17-68. And when we have discussion, I'm going to ask for an explanation and a comment from our Environmental Commission. So do I have a motion on Resolution 17-68 for the Spring Branch pickup?
So moved.
Eitan?
Sure.
I understand you wanted to make some comments.
Yes.
On that.
Eitan Grunwald, Roosevelt Woodland Trail.
And what did you do to annoy Karen?
I spent too much time on the Roosevelt Woodland Trail. Eitan Grunwald from the Environmental Commission. And speaking on behalf of the Environmental Commission, I just wanted to let the council know how much the Environmental Commission is in favor of actually twice a year branch pickup, but if that's not possible, then at least once a year. We all recycle our plastic, paper, and glass. However, branches are something that are also, yard waste is something that should also be recycled. What happens when it isn't is that people tend to dump it either in the woods, which adds to the woody debris, increases the fuel on the forest floor, and increases the risk of fire hazard. And also, it doesn't decompose properly. When it's recycled, it gets chopped up into mulch, the nutrients break down, adds, enriches the soil, and so forth. And in addition to that, many of the ornamental trees that are or shrubs that are cut up, if they're introduced into the forest, then that introduces exotic species that we don't want. And finally, for those people who don't dump in the woods, there's a tendency to chop up the branches and put them out in the trash where they go into landfills and they release methane instead of good things. So we would encourage the borough to make sure that we at least offer residents the opportunity once a year to get rid of their trimmings.
I can talk to our CFO to see if we can get that in the budget for this year. Twice a year pickup.
Mm-hmm. We've always done twice.
He just asked for twice.
I was just saying that in general, we think it's a good idea if it can be done in the fall,
right?
Because that's a good time to prune trees, and that's when there may be a lot of trimmings. At the same time, we recognize that during the winter, there's a lot of windfall, or from ice storms and blizzards and so forth. So there's, in addition, if it's too much of a financial burden on the town to do it twice a year, then at minimum, the Environmental Commission believes that it ought to be done once a year. The last time it was done was May of 2016, I believe. The time before that was June of 2015. Yep. And so it's time.
Yeah, I'll look and I'll see what.
One schedule for June 5th.
Yes.
That I don't know about the schedule. Yes, the speaking favor.
Also, I just wanted nothing to do, not apropos to anything, but thank you very much for looking into that, the trapping, the cyanide trapping.
Okay. Yeah, we're not in favor of that.
But I mean, that was very reassuring to get the response that you got. I don't know if ever.
We are in the middle of voting on an ordinance.
I know, but as long as he was speaking.
We can bring him up
after. Thank
you. Because we do have.
Oh, let's get on to the important.
Yeah, we have a section to report to borough officials, and we'll have them give a report. And I am holding, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't, I'm holding the certification of funds for Allen's Tree Service to do the branch pickup under Clean Communities budget account.
On a question about that, last year, did he do it for 1 day or 2 days?
It takes several days. There's a lot of branches.
Okay.
But if you're not out on June 5th,
right.
And he comes by your house on June 5th, you missed it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the week of June 5th, I think you're safe if you say that, because sometimes it takes
yeah.
a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I don't
want
to mislead people into thinking they can.
Already there
yeah,
by June
there.
5th.
Yeah,
if we
yeah.
say
yes.
the week
but
of June 5th, they might think they have
yeah,
a week.
Don't put
no,
it out, right. Don't put it out on June 7th is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So we have a motion, a second. Is there more? Any more discussion about 1768?
A couple of days.
Can I have a vote, please? A roll
Ms.
call.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Of course.
Thank you. Okay, we now come to the second reading and public hearing of 2017-002. And I always forget that we start the public hearing before the
would you do a motion in a second, then you,
okay.
start, then you open it.
Thank you. Who's moving 20, would somebody like to move 2017-02? Mr. Hamilton moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ticken appears to have won that race. Okay. We now open the public hearing on Ordinance 2017-002, an ordinance providing for the supplemental appropriation for the municipal building improvements in the borough of Roosevelt and appropriating $30,000 therefore, authorized in and for the borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, New Jersey. The purpose of this ordinance is to allow us to use up to $30,000 to fix the roof. For those of you who are unaware, the roof sprung a leak. It came down in the hallways, the bathrooms, and we had to bring in a crew to empty out our attic, which is where we've had records stored for years. As an aside, for those of you who wonder what happened to all those records, in order for us to have the election in this room, the records had to go, so the records are now in the third bay. I say that quietly, because by putting the records in the third bay, we violate the fire code, so we now have to move those records back from the third bay. At the moment, there is no place to put them. We took the records that we had in here, we put into the trailer, we took the gear from the trailer, and we put it into the second bay, and I'm waiting for one more mold to pop up. Okay, do we have anybody from the public who would like to comment on 2017-002, Mr. Ellentuck? Ms. Bona, would you please, you can stay where you are. I'll pass you the gavel.
Bert Ellentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. I'm curious.
I'm sorry. Let the record show that I've handed the chair over to Ms. Bona.
Got your clock out for a five-minute warning.
Go.
Do I understand you to say that this appropriation is for work that has already been done?
No.
So you did do work. You fixed the roof.
No.
Oh, you haven't fixed the roof.
No.
Okay. So I'm. So we have proposals to fix the roof and do the rest of the stuff.
Yes.
Which does not exceed $30,000.
Correct.
Thank you.
Actually, it's substantially less than $30,000.
Well, we had a couple bids. Two separate bids, one for the non-flat portion of the roof, which I guess is the part that's over us here, and the flat
side.
Asphalt portion, which extends from the end of this room, I guess, over
is that backwards?
The existing first three floor bays.
Flat is here.
The flat portion of the roof was around 15,000 was a bid, and the non-flat around 8,000. We also need to replace the gutters. The bids that were given are relatively recent. They're not bids, they're quotes. This is something that would need to be bid out, I think. And I would like to get bids on the bid specs to include the whole project, one vendor to do the whole project. Obviously, I don't think we want a vendor to do one piece and then another part of it.
But we had bids from the same vendor for the entire roof. He just split it at our request.
No, it looked like it was two different vendors from what we could see in the quote.
It looks like it was two different vendors.
So we didn't get the Princeton Windows didn't give us a single quote?
No.
Oh, my mistake.
One said non-flat portion, the other one said flat portion. But I
thought they were from the same company, Mike.
No.
Okay.
No, I think we need somebody to do it all. And I think we ought to wait on it a little bit because if we ever need to do venting of carbon monoxide, if we want to use the existing bays and we have to vent carbon monoxide, it may have to be vented through the roof. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it wouldn't make sense to replace the roof and then have to make those modifications later.
Vent through what roof?
The existing roof over the first aid squad there.
Right, but we're talking about this roof.
We're talking about the whole thing.
Well, okay, so let's split it. We have a problem.
Yeah.
We have a serious problem, okay? It's pouring in, so we need to fix that.
Yeah.
Whether or not we do the first aid building and whether or not other work is done on that first aid building, I mean, it would be nice to do it all at once, but I'm not sure that we have that option. Okay. I don't think we want to. This is a discussion, not a demand.
Sure.
I don't think we want to do the whole thing if we're going to have to tear that roof up. But I'm very hesitant to delay this because we already have cracking in this wall and I'm worried about mold and termites and all that good stuff.
How long has it been leaking for?
It started pouring a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it came when we brought in, we had to bring in that crew from KTK to move all this stuff.
Yeah. The committee met and we looked up, we could see the cracks extending all the way up to the roof.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about in the masonry?
Yeah. And the masonry indicates that you have some significant damage occurring. So.
Yeah.
I agree that it's something we want to move on fairly quickly. I'm just saying if we...
Well, I'm not saying we have to fix this now. I'm just talking about
no,
the roof.
Right.
How old is this building?
Well,
the roof is, he said, around 50 years old.
Never been replaced?
Yeah, and that's never
yes.
been replaced?
Okay, let's say ahead of public
works.
This
is the second time we've had the same leak in the same area within a year because we had one towards the end of last year and now this year. So this is the second time in the same spot.
Okay.
So
there's three layers of stainless up there.
Yeah.
And they would all need to be removed. Also, some of the plywood they have to be replaced, too. Mm-hmm. That might affect the cost. It's about $50 a sheet for the plywood. But we think we have enough in this ordinance to cover it. The good thing about this ordinance is we don't need a bond to cover that. It's an already fully funded ordinance. So the money's there, and that's all we're approving tonight is the money to make sure that it's there since we need to move on.
Okay, but we are approving, in your mind, what? Both roofs or this roof? Or to the extent necessary?
I think to the extent necessary because I haven't been up on that other roof and haven't seen the condition of that.
So
that may be as bad as this one. I don't know.
Okay, so the procedure would be we would fix the typo, but we would also fix this roof, this peaked roof now, and based on whatever discussions you want to have or whatever engineers you want to have come out, determine when to do the flat roof.
On a suggestion, could I speak on
sure.
this matter for a minute? From Kelly, I got the impression that the leak itself is where the flat roof meets the peaked roof or the shingled roof over here.
It's right there.
Yep, right. This corner here is where the.
Right.
So that's repairable for now. But I'm just a suggestion. But in general, if the roof over the first aid squad could be fixed also, and I noticed the span of this room is like there are no columns in here. it would be great if there were no columns in the first aid squad building. So if the roof was going to get repaired and the plywood or the shingles or the tar had to come off, perhaps a truss-type roof could go in.
I think that's exactly what I'm saying, Joe. What I'm saying is that this roof above us needs to be fixed today.
But I'm saying
if
this roof gets fixed, then perhaps...
This roof directly over us needs to get fixed today.
Okay.
The roof over the first aid building
may
or may not be fixed today based on what it is that Public Works decides we should do with that building. So if you're going to remove the trusses in that building, you're going to have to take the roof off.
Exactly.
Okay, if we go ahead and put a roof on now, and 2 months from now we take it off, we will have paid
twice. Doesn't make sense. That's what I'm saying. We should look into removing the roof, taking the columns out, putting a column-free roof on, so then there's more room for the ambulances to pull in.
That's
and
a neat trick.
No. Look at this. This is the second half of that of this building.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, from the aerial view on Google, I look and I see that this is all one flat roof, and it's probably different pitches. And over here on the addition, from the plans that I got online, that this is a pitched shingled roof on that side of the building.
Right.
And where they meet is probably where the leak is. Where flashing goes, that's usually where the leak is.
Joe, we're in agreement. We're going to fix this one first. We're not going to fix the first aid one until you decide, or the committee decides, or the council decides what's happening with that building.
So maybe that's why there's two separate bids?
That's clearly why there are two separate bids. The only question was whether the separate bids were from the same company.
Okay,
that was
so from a perspective, and Bert might be able to help me here, if they're just going to do the shingled roof, might not involve any flashing between this flat roof and the shingled roof and the wall in between them.
Okay, I'm not a roofer. We're not going
to
ask for expert testimony.
I would defer to an architect.
If my wife lets me climb on a roof, I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Ladies
and gentlemen. We're in the public hearing. The public hasn't had a chance to say anything yet. Okay? So that being the case, is there anybody in the public who would like to, has any questions or any comments regarding whatever roof it is that we're putting on with whatever funds we're getting? Yes. Mr. Connors.
Mark Connors, 23 North Rossdale. I don't mean this to insult anybody, but I have to tell you something. I'm hearing a lot of, we've never looked at, we have no idea what we're talking about, and we've never had bothered to get anybody up there to actually look at it to tell us what we're talking about.
Yes.
On any roof.
Yes.
Oh, apparently, either you do... No, because, Mr. Allen, you keep making a statement, you have to go up and look at it. What's your background of construction?
I have absolutely no background in construction.
So how are you going to look at a flat roof and tell me anything about it? What's the proper pitch for an 8-foot run?
I have no
for
idea.
A 12-foot run?
I have no idea, and I wouldn't want to touch it. I'll make recommendations.
But that's
a quarter
what I'm
inch
saying.
Per foot, isn't it?
You have people that do this for a living and know what they're talking about. You have people who are very well-qualified people in town. You have people who know... Stop pretending like, oh, we got to look at this and we're going to know what we're doing. You're not.
We're not doing
Bring
that.
People in that know what they're doing. Let them tell you what you actually have a problem with and fix it.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public who has any questions or comments? Nancy?
Excuse me, Nancy Warnick.
Could you please come to the microphone? As a former clerk, you should know how difficult it is to use the tapes.
Did you spell your last name, please? I just have a simple question. Why is this being done by ordinance rather than resolution? Is this part of a bond?
No.
I think it's because it's coming from the money is coming from the capital improvement.
Capital improvement?
Fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Spoken like a clerk.
Yes. Like an alternate.
Anybody else from the public? That being the case, Mr. Hamilton, I believe you had something else you wanted to say. Sorry, public portion is, the public hearing on 2017-002 is now closed. Mr. Hamilton.
I just want to say that I agree with Mr. Connors. I have no expertise in it. I'm not going to make recommendations based on what I see. What I was just saying is we don't have good information on that section of the roof. and what repairs need to be done. I agree we need an expert, someone to take a look at it as well. All of us. Certainly I'm not, and many of us aren't. We're not roofers.
Having talked to the roofer, however,
yeah.
Their statement was that the entire roof needs to be replaced. The reason that it was split is because of this long discussion about what we're doing with the first aid building. I am clearly not a roofer, but I do have some concept of finance and homeownership, and the idea of putting on a roof and then tearing it off on that building, tearing it off 2 months later makes no sense to me.
Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to address Section 2 of the ordinance itself. In the latter part of Section 2, it says, as shown on and in accordance with contracts, plans, specifications, and requisitions on file with the borough clerk, as approved by the governing body of the borough, we don't really have a specific plan.
I wonder why.
I know.
Well, we have the bids for the two parts of the roof.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. And they set out, if I remember them correctly, and I may not, they set out what was going in and what the warranties were,
yeah,
et cetera.
Well, I guess my question is for the borough attorney whether or not they qualify as plans.
Well, I don't know what you got from the roofer, but, yeah, I mean, generally speaking, it's whatever you have on file. Whatever you have on file, plans, and whatever you will have on file when the work is done and it's bid out.
Okay. Yeah, this is essentially saying whatever's there, you have to be on. Okay.
I'm sorry, did we embarrass you, Nancy?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Well, I figured I had a second shot there. Okay. Yes, Ms. Lapote.
So, we do have a borough attorney, a borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, and she has looked at the first aid portion of the building, and she could easily put together a plan for what it would cost to raise the clearance for the ambulances, for installing the system to get the exhaust out of the building. And it would seem to be reasonable now to ask her for such.
I did already. I spoke to Carmel. I was going to report on that in my public works committee report. She had a lot of recommendations should we decide to go there.
Why don't we do that?
So, get
through the
ordinance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
thank
this
you.
Ordinance, so that I'm clear on what I'm voting on, is really only to do the roof on this portion.
No. This ordinance is to cover this roof and so much of that roof as we may determine to do. So if we do this roof for $15,000, which I think was the bid, and the gutters, and forgive me if I'm off a little bit.
That's about right, but it didn't include the gutters. It was $14,800 for
this
part of the roof.
Okay. And then the gutters was an additional amount. So we're doing this part because this part is an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
We will then decide whether that excess would be sufficient to do whatever is being done on the roof over there. If we don't use the funds for that purpose, the funds will go back into, I believe, our available capital funds, and we can then do another ordinance for whatever needs to be done with the first aid building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that recommendation came through the CFO, who said, look, you already have a funded ordinance. You don't have to have any bonding expenses, mm-hmm, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it made a lot of sense to get that money appropriated right away, because we know things aren't going to get better. This is not a self-healing building.
On a question, Mike, did Carmela have any plans at all drawn?
Yes, he's going to discuss that during his committee report.
I was asking him, does she? Because I looked all through.
Okay, point of order. We're in the midst of voting on an ordinance. We need to get through the ordinance, and he can talk fully and completely about his conversation with Carmela, and I would encourage that.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments on Ordinance 2017-002? I have one comment. Okay. In the agenda, just in case it's spelled the same way in the ordinance, in the title, second line, municipal building improve amenities something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if that's on the bond.
It's wrong, too.
It's wrong there. Okay. So we would be voting on the ordinance 2017-002 with the word improvement spelled correctly. Can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
May I have motion on 2017-003, introduction, long reading, meaning, folks. Introduction and first reading, calendar year 2017, ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriations limits and to establish a cap bank.
Move to 2017-003.
Second.
Okay. Any comments at the table? I have one. Normally, you establish the cap bank in conjunction with issuing a budget, because when you issue the budget, you know that you are going to exceed the cap. So far, we have not seen any budget. Our CFO requested that I put that budget on for first reading tonight, and I refused. So if that becomes a question, I refused, because I do not want to introduce a budget that we got 10 minutes before the meeting, because it's going to be complicated and it's going to be long. So I'm hoping that we get that shortly, and we can go through it line by line. Okay. 2017-003, can we please have a roll call when you are done writing?
Discussion?
I just asked for a discussion. Nobody had anything, but go for
it. I wanted to ask a question. Yeah. Is it normally 2% and we want to raise it to 3.5%? Is that
no.
what it is?
No,
it's normally.
No. I think the statute
says 0.5.
Well, I think the statute says that normally you can spend up to 2.5% more of what you appropriated in the prior year, but if this index is below 2.5, you can go to 3.5, but the purpose of this was that if you spend below the 3.5, that you can sort of roll it over into the next two years, so that you can effectively spend more than the percentage in the next
you
year.
You parlay it.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And the purpose was that municipalities, like many companies, had their budget. And if they were going to come in under the budget, they immediately spent a lot of stuff so that they didn't get blocked in the next year.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we please call the roll on 2017-003?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I got Mike Ticton, right?
I got him this
okay.
time. Just let them know when the second public
hearing is. Now that we've passed the introduction and first reading, there will be a public hearing and the final reading on May 22nd, 2017 at 7 p.m. At the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555, which is where we are all now. Mm-hmm. We now come to reports of committee chairs. We will start with Mr. Hamilton, who I am hoping is going to start with his conversation about our engineer.
Didn't you have one other thing, the Allen Tree Service authorization?
We did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the branch pickup. Is there something else that we're...
Yeah, that was the branch pickup.
No, I just had a note here after 1768 that we had something from Allen's Tree Service, but that's...
What she said was the invoice wasn't attached to the actual... It was a couple pages later in the packet.
Yeah, that was Mike. That was in 1768, the second one on the second page.
All right, good. Yeah, I don't know if it was reported on, but we had a public works committee meeting on April 17th, and the full committee was there. But before I report on that, I wanted to comment on a couple of things on how beautiful the town is. in the spring. It's gorgeous. It really is. And it's so nice to be out and walking around. And I've been on the nature trail pretty much every morning at about 6:30 in the morning because I'm generally up pretty early. And it's just, it's very well kept. What a pleasure it is to be a few steps into the nature trail and be walking through town. And I do, usually I do three sessions and end up at Solar Village. It's wonderful. You just feel like you're in nature, and I think that that's the way the town is designed, with a lot of, with great respect for nature. And we've respected the plan, the original plan, and we do a lot of work. A lot of people do a lot of work to make sure that things are kept well like that. A lot of homeowners, beautiful properties. There's many organizations working to keep the town beautiful. And I just wanted to comment that it is stunningly beautiful in the springtime. Sometimes of the year you can't say that, but it is wonderful to be in this town in the springtime. And it makes you really value what we have here, this town that's kind of nestled into nature, so you actually feel a part of it. And it's part of the original plan. And I think it's wonderful.
Now, if you can manage to somehow keep springtime instead of spring, winter, fall, summer, spring, winter, fall, summer, just for a week, just consistency, I appreciate it.
I'm okay with that. We did have a committee meeting on April 17th. I didn't report on it because I wasn't here during the last meeting. But I was there, and Stacey, Councilwoman Bona, Councilwoman Lopetti were there. And we discussed a number of public works projects that we were looking to do, and a lot of them are needed. Some of them have higher priorities than others, like the roofing project. One of the things that we discussed was initiating a PSE&G audit, an energy audit, which is free, and I think it could be a great thing, because if we're looking at things like replacing air conditioning units, lighting, that kind of thing would help us make decisions concerning energy efficient equipment to get, and possibly insulating the building better to save taxpayers money. So I know we're going to get the ball rolling on that, and that'll be a good first step. We spoke about the roof replacement of Borough Hall, and again, that was the number one priority, I think, because it's an ongoing problem. Again, it's not going to get any better. And that's why we have that resolution for the $30,000 in funding. We also looked at things like the air conditioner in Borough Hall. It's an existing air conditioner. It's not that old. I think it's from 2006. But every now and then, the unit's been freezing up periodically. It may need maintenance. It may be on its way out. We're not really sure. It may need to do some maintenance, like cleaning the fins and coils, that kind of thing. I'm not an expert on air conditioning, but we should look at it and see if we need to repair or replace those units. We have some quotes from last year, just to give people an idea of the cost of replacing units. And I think they're for wall mount units, which is a newer
the Samsungs?
Yeah, the Samsung kind of wall mount units. They're a little more efficient. You can really do some good zone air conditioning, save some money. One part of the building is not being used. You don't have to waste energy air conditioning the whole building. I think one of the quotes was $17,000 for four wall mount units. Another one was $10,000 for three units. And again, we're going to be looking into that to see if we need to repair or replace, or which direction we want to go with that. We did a walkthrough and inspected the first aid squad, existing first aid squad facilities. One of the things that we talked about, which I think is important, is to clean out Bay 1, which is that far bay over the other side.
Bay 3.
Is that Bay 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever it is, it's the end bay that's been used for storage. Summer camp and...
Well, we've pretty well cleaned it out the last time the fire marshal came through.
It's not bad compared to the way it was.
But it's also, remember, that's also the only bay that Public Works has. So that's where the things like the shovels and the rakes and the stuff that's used by the Environmental Commission all get stored. So
yes,
we have to find someplace else to put it.
There's not a lot of stuff. There wasn't a lot of stuff until we moved the records in there temporarily, I guess. But,
yeah.
um, But that's going to need to be cleaned out. Maybe summer camp can find somewhere to put some of their rear fins. One of the things that's really unconscionable, I think, that needs to be repaired is the bathroom sink in the first aid squad building is non-functional. It needs to be. We need to call a plumber and just get somebody in there to wash their hands. The toilet facilities work. It's functional. But again, we need a lot of work, but that's a basic human need, I think, to be able to wash your hands. So I'd like to, if somebody can call a plumber to get them in there to do the repairs. I don't think we're talking about a lot of money there. It's just
Mr. Mayor, can I speak out of turn?
Not until Mr. Hamilton is done.
The first aid squad will take care of it. I will fix it.
I'm glad that my comment was effective.
Sorry.
Good for you, Mark.
You know, I get notes from our staff which say you have to show up at this meeting in Freehold. It's not like I'm choosing. It's here, yeah. Right? And okay. Just so I know the limits of my oral power.
I want to ask you what your qualifications are as a plumber.
I've been a facility manager for 30 years.
Great.
How's that? Is that good?
Yeah.
You got the job.
Pretty good. You got the job.
one of the issues that we have is all the records that were here lining up along the wall. And we talked about going through those records. Part of the problem is that a lot of those records, which have different record retention schedules for destruction, some of them you have to keep for a long time, other ones you get destroyed. But council members need to sort through those records because some may be confidential. No,
council people cannot go through those records.
Who goes through them?
The clerks and the records retention officer, which is Anna.
Okay.
And which is why I suggested that we should basically close the office for a week and let them get through it because there are thousands of them.
Can some of those be scanned?
You have to. Some of them can be scanned, but you have to figure out which ones. That's the problem. So when you go through those boxes, you have to separate into keep, destroy, keep forever, keep 10 years, scan.
And that's something that Anna is probably going to have to take the lead on, since she's the one.
Yeah, and the clerks as well. It's just there are records that none of us are allowed to look at. So
tag them all.
What extent can we get? Can we put them in the county archives?
We have 30 cubic feet. That was a big announcement that they made on Thursday. 30 cubic feet is 6 by 5 by 1. So we can get rid of about one table's worth of boxes this high. Not a lot of space. But, yeah, we want to digitize as much as possible. And I'm sorry, Mike, you're still going up.
No, that's okay. We discussed the pros and cons of options regarding the first aid squad facilities, which essentially consist of either rehabbing the existing first aid squad facilities, which are connected to Borough Hall, or doing something, I guess, where the firehouse is. Again, that's going to be an ongoing discussion, and we'll need to talk more about that. I have a few more items here. Yeah, we have a branch pickup scheduled for June 5th, so everybody can get the branches out. We have the length of a range, and we talked about this with the CFO, street cleaning. There's money that's accumulating in the Clean Communities grant. It's accumulated over several years. I think there's $9,000.
We just used $4,800 of it for the branch pickup.
Good. No, because I think you never know when the state's going to be looking for money. And might come back and say, hey, you know, you didn't use this, we're going to recoup it. So I think we ought to spend it. We also talked about, and I think we were able to do this, I think our CFO, we talked about recouping some of the Clean Communities money, reallocating it for the gas station cleanup that was done already, because that seems to fall possibly within the parameters of Clean Communities. So this way we can reallocate some of that grant money and refund that money into the borough coffers, which makes sense. Again, we recommended, and Aton touched upon this, doing wood chipping 2 times a year. Makes sense. We have a lot of wooded land, and there's a lot of cleanup that needs to be done. We need some no parking signs still near the sewer treatment plant. So this is an order signed, a couple, I guess you call them dog ordinance signs.
They just came in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe need to replace the one at the cemetery and maybe a new signs telling people they should clean up after their animals as possible. It's a new area. Because I'm sure people are going to walk their dogs. Also, we need to look at, again, at the salt pile enclosure, something to enclose that salt pile at the end of Pine Drive so it's not in, so you don't get run out there. I had a couple calls from residents, and I had a complaint that a county road crew came and removed signs that were, I guess, on the county right away along 571.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some of those signs saying that we welcome everybody who wants to live here.
They come through and remove anything.
Yeah.
All the political signs that were out there, anything just gets pulled out. So you have to be 25 feet or more back from the center line.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were against whatever the sign stood for. It was
sure.
They do it no matter what's there.
One of the points was that it is the resident's property and it could be taken down and put on the residence. You know, they could just, instead of throwing it on the truck, they could put it over there on the resident's property and tell them to kind of post it there. Because, you know, it costs $20 a piece. The donations, but the resident was upset about it, and maybe other residents might be as well. One of the items that we need to talk about is the bulletin board replacement and what to do about that. I don't know if it falls under public works, but I think we ought to have some discussions about what to do about that.
We have. Well, let's wait till you're done with your report.
No, it's okay.
Well, I have a bunch of stuff on your report, so I want to.
Okay. Grant Tucker, we covered that. Street cleaning, I think we could use a street cleaning. I think that could be charged for clean communities, some of that money. I think it falls under, I looked at the grant specs for clean communities. I think it falls under.
Yeah, George said he thought that was permissible.
Yeah, but we'd have to check it just to make sure because the parameters in there are pretty tight. So if we could arrange for a street cleaning, that would be great. I don't think we've done it in a while. I know that Mayor Allentuck has mentioned Solaris, is that their name?
Mm-hmm.
The contractor that was the winning bidder for the maintenance of public land. I think they did a great job, too. I was out there on Saturday, and they were working, I guess. They started around 9 o'clock in the morning. And I saw them up at the cemetery, and they had the weed whackers out, and they were doing a great job. They also did a really good job, I think, at the triangles and at the sewer treatment plant. They were really working and getting in all the corners there, and they did a really nice job. I spoke to the lead man there and also called his boss, which may be the owner, gave him my contact information and said if they had any questions about the specs and what they need to be doing. Give me a call and give Kelly a call, and they said that they would. They commented to me on how beautiful the town was. It was in Spanish, so I didn't understand it. But it was wonderful.
You got the general idea.
They were really, the point is, they were really nice. They were very conscientious.
I'm just thinking what he's really saying is this guy thinks I'm talking about the town. Let me tell you what I really think of it.
I've got enough of it to know what he was saying. But it looked like a good crew. Yeah. So it's nice to have them working. Things have grown a lot, and so it was needed. So it was good to see that work being done.
If I could just ask, you mentioned earlier that you said you were going to report on your conversation with Carmela, and I didn't hear that yet.
Yeah. Basically, I just touched base with Carmela and told her about the roofing project. And asked her if she had any recommendations as to how to go about that. I also talked to her about the possibility, looking into the feasibility of making renovations to that existing structure, that part of the wall. She recommended possibly using the architect that we used before. I can't remember the name. Think something from Hopewell.
I never met him. She brought him in with the rest of the team.
Yeah, she thought they were very reasonable and had a would do a good job of coming up at specs should we decide to go that route with renovating existing first aid squad facilities. I think what's going to drive that essentially are the building codes. You know, you go by the building codes, basically, and that drives the work that needs to be done. So I think we really need somebody who knows all about the building codes and understands it, and that's probably an architect or
Yeah, I was going to suggest when you started talking about the sink, yes, clearly the sink should be fixed, but before you do anything else in that bathroom, there's a tipping point at which either money or structural, at which point it comes under the new codes.
Yeah.
So you just got to be careful about that. I think might be why she suggested an architect.
Sink.
That's it. I'm in favor of fixing the sink.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't want to do much more until you really understand the codes and have somebody who guides you through them. But there were a lot of issues that she touched upon. The electrical service is way out of the box, you know, out there. I looked at it. It was an antique, you know. And you never know how those things were wired either, who did the wiring, and whether or not they were qualified to do it.
Irving plunge in and
I
no.
I was just going to say.
But there's a number of issues. It's not just the clearance where the garage door bays are.
And the columns.
Or the columns in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's also a variation in, there's a ledge in the back, in the rear of the building. Mm-hmm. I guess it's elevated somewhat. That would need to be addressed. It's carbon monoxide. There's a problematic thing here where we have a door that enters into Borough Hall, and we have the possibility of carbon monoxide leaking through.
I'm very aware of that, yes.
I know you are. There may be a few people who aren't. So there's a number of issues that, and she suggested that we use an architect should we decide to go that route. And that was it. It was a very friendly conversation. About 8 or 10 minutes, and she gave me the benefit of her opinion on how we should proceed with that. And I think that's it for that extensive report.
I had a couple of things. Don't take this personally, but I'm going to start pushing things. Bulletin board. Two meetings ago, I pointed out that Fund for Roosevelt had offered to pay for one and have Gary Edelstein build it. Rather than considering it, I'd like to get an answer. Should we put it back up or no?
Jeff, I didn't hear that very last thing you said after Gary Edelstein.
Fund for Roosevelt offered to pay Gary Edelstein to put it up. I'm pushing for a decision. We keep saying we're looking at it. I want to look at it. I want to do something. Energy. I had an energy audit, minor energy audit done last week. Mr. Connors was kind enough to hook us up with a gentleman who claims that he can get 75% payment from the state to upgrade our HVAC systems. The first thing he did was come out with a bid for energy 10% lower than what we're doing. I'm not inclined to jump on that, and I do want to find out what the sources of those funds would be from the state.
Is there a report on that?
We got a letter and a proposal. The air conditioning is not the issue just of the unit itself. We've had several studies done over the last 4 years or so. The issue is really the venting. So you could replace that unit with a brand new, more efficient one, and it wouldn't necessarily solve the problem. We had, I think, Haig and a couple of other companies come in, and they were more than willing to put something in, but they kept saying, I don't think that's what you want. I know that Tom Curry had looked at that. That's where those estimates came from.
Yeah.
He was pushing for, I'm not saying it's the right decision, but he was pushing for the Samsung units. Doesn't have to be Samsung, but the reason, there were a couple of reasons. One was we save energy by turning on and off different rooms, but they're also a much higher efficiency than these big units that we have overall. I know in Asia you look at I saw them, but my son kept sending me pictures from Thailand at apartment buildings, and every one of them had a little one of those units, just because they're efficient and it's expensive over there. As far as the fire building goes, the vents that go through are sized wrong. They go the wrong way. They're different sizes. The ductwork. I'm sorry. Yeah.
We looked at them up in the attic as well.
Yeah. But they go throughout, and, you know, when three people say, yeah, I'll be glad to replace this, but You get the impression that maybe there is an issue. Firehouse. Okay, the old firehouse, as you know, is collapsing on one side, and it's shifting. So we need to decide whether we are going to fix that building to use it for something or not. But one, I'd like to do it before, well, I'd like to get some movement on that so we can figure out before it's too late to do anything with the insurance. If we're going to knock it down, fine. If we're going to fix it, fine. But we need to start making some decisions. And as far as first aid goes, we are talking about taking our time, but there is this little matter of Peosha, and I have heard from them. I've also been told you folks might want to start, if you're getting homeowners insurance renewals, you might want to start checking those because your rates are going up. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of people in town whose rates have gone up because the fire company is further away. And now we move on to Mr. Michael Tickton.
I had a couple additional questions. So could we have another litter pickup? We usually have two litter pickups a year. Our Clean Communities coordinator generally takes care of that. And in previous years, they were able to use some of the Clean Communities money to provide some small grants to some of the nonprofits that did the pickup, and I think that was a really good breakthrough in getting a lot of people to get out and pick litter.
Yeah,
litter.
The grants were $500 grants.
They were.
Nice grants. And
very
I had,
nice.
I had a talk with Rick Pressler from the Bulletin and suggested that they may want to get involved in that and apply for a $500 grant if you get people to help out with that. So that's a good suggestion.
So you know the Clean Communities coordinator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is scheduled. I heard an email from him. Ron Postar is scheduling it for May 21st. Is that a Sunday?
Yes, it's a Sunday.
Yes.
Yes. I guess there's no publicity yet, but
there's no bulletin board.
We're here. Can I get a motion? I know we're in the middle of, but before we forget, can I get a motion to accept the kind offer from the Fund for Roosevelt to pay Gary Edelstein to replace the bulletin board?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Will he make a replica of the first?
Does the first one still exist?
No.
Tossed.
It's gone. Sure.
As a bulletin representative, we've already been contacted by someone, and I'm hard-pressed to come up with a name, I'm sorry, who's already in the process of rebuilding that.
Cool. Okay.
I'll have to check my email and get back to you with the actual name of the person.
But rebuilding it.
Can I get a motion that says that the council has no objection to putting up a bulletin board of similar size, dimensions, and duration?
So moved.
Thank you. We'll just do this by hand vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? None. Any abstentions?
So who?
I don't remember who.
Building? I mean, someone has started building?
Someone in town is building. Does anybody know the names of carpenters?
I think the last name was Curtis, wasn't it? Who's they were talking about? Your bright spot? It was Dave Curtis or something like that.
Parsons?
Parsons?
No, Curtis.
With the totem pole?
Dave Curtis lives on Rushdale.
I don't know, but anyway, so
he's still alive.
I know that. Hmm?
He's still allowed to build it. Okay.
I wonder how it's gone.
Okay.
Yes, that passed.
Okay.
And I have a question.
What passed was we're going to basically check out who's building it. If nobody's building it, you're going to build it. Pay somebody to build it. And if he is building it, we'll see what he's got.
I'll send you the meeting tonight.
Okay.
I have a question for Michael also.
Yes.
If you get an engineer to come and look at the first aid squad area, as one perspective, could he also look at the old firehouse and see if there's a way to rehabilitate that, to use that for utility trucks and shovels and salt and stuff like that also?
Yeah. Okay.
And I had one further one. Why don't we install a carbon monoxide detector, perhaps over near the kitchen?
Oh,
Home Depot, 20
well,
bucks.
We, like canaries, if the old mayor goes, she's first by the door, it's time to get out. I'm sorry, the former mayor, I apologize.
I don't think
I didn't offer to put you back there, but watch it. Okay.
Also, the smoke detector probably could use updating. If I look at these, these are pretty old.
That's before ion. Yeah.
Hold up a match and see if they still work.
Easy solution there.
Yeah.
Well, now they have a combination one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Self-contained, you don't have to put the batteries in. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I have enough trouble getting them open without a combination. Okay, Mr. Tickton, community development, code enforcement, and senior rep.
The mayor mentioned the discussions perhaps are moving somewhere with the gas station and the proposed medical marijuana facility. So if we do get a proposal, this would be the council, of course, has the exposed the property, the borough has the property, the council has the ability to make the decision of what shall be done and how it shall be done. Presumably this will be done with input from the planning board and the environmental commission as well. We want to make sure that all aspects of this are properly addressed. As for senior, I can note that the senior organization meeting has been changed to June 5th because the primary is June 6th. So they can't be meeting there on June 6th for obvious reasons. The Roosevelt Senior Citizen Housing Corporation has had its annual election with all officers and trustees re-elected. And one thing, where we participated in the Weekend at Old Monmouth program of Monmouth County, where it's brochures of historical sites all over the county, people are going to go on tours. I was, Alan Malik was there for a couple of hours. I was there the rest of the time on Saturday and Sunday. We had 18 people came, which is a few more than we had last year.
Came where though, Mike?
They came to the school. It was advertised to come to the school, so we give them a talk on the mural and talk about the town and the mural, and just give them the tour, the walking guide, or so they can drive around and give them some idea where else they might need to go in the town.
Was that a good number, do you think?
I'm sorry. Well, 18 is probably a little better than we had last year. It's not a huge number, obviously. But
I mean, I wonder how many people go on the tour.
I don't know how it compares to other sites. Yes.
Michael, I understand I was at the Cranberry Museum yesterday, the historic museum there, and they said that there is a historic thing at Battleground State Park coming up about Monmouth County. New Jersey.
Every year they have a reenactment in June. Yeah. At the end of June they have a reenactment.
Well, beyond the reenactment, they have a historic exhibits about New Jersey proper. So is there any way we can be involved in that, or is there historic Roosevelt?
I'll see if I can find out.
Dan
Lowry is involved with the state parks, so she might be able to.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to put on a tri-corner hat and the ponytail.
Bring your blumber busper or whatever you call them, blister, so. Okay.
Yeah, so I think the people who came seem to find it very interesting.
There's a lot of people.
Word gets out gradually that there's a place that's worth visiting, destination tourism, but we have a little bit of it.
Yeah. My friend threw out a suggestion. Maybe there could be a historic Roosevelt Museum in one of the old houses redressed to be like,
school. We have all the artwork, and we have the photographs, and we have
and the bust out front and everything.
The school, and we certainly do.
It is.
The principal says there's something people say, it's a museum as well as being an elementary school.
It's an art gallery all by itself. It's beautiful.
We are having one of the speakers at graduation is going to be Erin Ireland, who is a great granddaughter of President Mrs. Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. So she will be there.
I was also told
the 80th anniversary. So the principal asked if we could possibly get somebody from the Roosevelt family. So we did.
I was also told that the school is going to tour the Roosevelt Island Four Freedoms Park?
No, what happened was last week I went with the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders to Hyde Park.
Hyde Park?
They toured Freedoms Park.
Out to Long Island, Roosevelt.
Park Library at home.
Okay. Nice.
Did they seem to care?
Like that a lot.
Yeah.
Did they seem to care?
Oh, yeah. Very well. The teacher, everyone, the principal went also. Everyone seemed to really get a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. said the one thing they're going to remember is that we couldn't go into the house because the smoke detectors went off, so they had to get. So the Hyde Park Fire Department had to come and check out the house for the kids. She's not the kids will remember.
Is it safe? Is it safe?
Diamonds.
The seniors meeting on the 5th is the one they normally have it around noon?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, because we still have the setup issue. I just want to make sure.
Tuesday, yeah.
Okay. And thank you. Ms. Bona, administration and environmental commission representative.
Okay, for administration, we're closing in on the job description, so I've received them from the staff. The next step is to review them and clean them up. So we're one step closer there. For environmental commission, Forest Management Planning Advisory Group has been reviewing and commenting on the draft community forest management plan prepared by our forester. The draft was also sent to Public Works for review. Revisions are being made and aiming to have a final version ready for review by the Environmental Commission at its May 24th meeting, which is 1 week later than usual. Normally, the Environmental Commission meets on the third Wednesday, but in May we'll be meeting on the fourth Wednesday. Stream monitoring. April training for stream monitoring volunteers has been rescheduled to June 17th, which will also incorporate summertime monitoring of Empty Box Brook, led by Mary Tullis. So if anyone is interested in taking the stream monitoring course, let us know. The invasive species, on June 3rd, volunteers led by Steve Taylor will be removing invasive garlic mustard and planting butterfly-friendly native species at the new Parkett Park on Spruce and Clarksburg. And trail, during the past few weeks, volunteers led by Nick Murray built a new wooden platforms for the Rochdale Valley Road segment of the trail to replace old ones that had fallen apart. They also installed new numbered posts in that trail segment to replace old ones that had disappeared or deteriorated. Those signposts are currently used by the RPS teacher, Larissa Bondi, as places for her students to make observations when she takes them on nature walks. The Environmental Commission is also aiming to create an interpretive guide for the signposts that would be made available to the general public. And finally, in response to the vandalism on the Woodland Trail, where someone had been reopening a closed section, a fence was erected to discourage the undesirable rerouting, and a sign was posted explaining safety reasons why that section of the trail has been closed. So far, it seems to be working with no further interference since the fence and sign were put in place a few weeks ago.
As administration, I have a question which I asked of Mr. Hamilton, but I should probably more have properly asked of you. When can we close for a week to let our staff come in and go through those files? Can we schedule that at fairly soon?
I would think so.
Let's pick a week when we think it's going to be slow and we have people here, and let's have them get at it. Get it done.
Okay. How about the week of Memorial Day? Because you'd be closed that Monday anyway. So then that would just mean you're sort of closed for 4 days.
Yeah, but then they have to come in and work on a holiday.
True. So, can't do it in 4 days?
Yeah, no.
I think we should ask the staff for input on which week they would prefer, and then... But I agree we should close for a week.
I think July through August would be great.
Yes, but you have to stay here.
Oh, that's right.
Definitely wait for the new air conditioning.
I just had a quick question.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about stream monitoring and why that's important and what it entails?
Mary, would you like to field that one? I think Mary could speak much more intelligently about the details than I could.
In that case, why don't we ask if Mary would speak under reports of borough officials? I want to try to get through Yeah, we just have a lot of stuff to get through. And thank you. Okay. Did anybody else have a question for Ms. Bond? Okay. Do our deputy clerk or clerk have anything to report?
Just that the financial disclosure statements, everybody did a great, except one person, which I won't mention, and it's no one on the council, so don't worry about it. But we only have one person left, so.
I believe that the state will take care of that problem, if it's not.
If it's not done by the time that they, yes.
Yes.
But I just sent him an email, so.
I have a question, and I guess it falls under administration. Would be okay to ask it. I'll step back. There's been some comments that cameras have been installed in Borough Hall, and I'd like to know if we have. I don't know anything about the cameras, where the cameras are, what, how they monitor. I'm interested in that, and also as far as administration is concerned, do we have any regulations concerning how they're used, who has access to them?
Privacy.
Are they recorded? A lot of any kind of privacy regulations concerning that form of administration.
Well, I could tell you at my job, we recently got a new camera system that's pretty much locked down. There's only one or two people in the company who have access for security purposes.
I can tell you with a reasonable degree of certainty that it is mentioned specifically in our employee handbook, and I believe there are some regulations about it. The cameras are not recently installed. That one up there has been here for years.
One additional one was installed.
So
why is that?
Because we had problems with people going in and out of the firehouse. Or we weren't sure whether people were going in and out of the firehouse. And in fact, after the fire department left, we knew exactly what had to be returned. So.
Where is that other camera?
Exterior?
We're kind of hesitant to discuss where the cameras are and what they can see, but I might be willing to tell you in the after the meeting.
Okay. It's a secret.
Well, yes, it is, because knowing what the scope of the cameras are, how they're located, and when they film defeats the purpose. As okay.
When were they approved by the council?
I don't know. They went in years ago, Mike.
The new one. I didn't see a bill for it. I was just wondering how that was allocated.
That was done last year, 2 years ago. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, we don't have any specific administration guidelines as to who has access.
We have an employment contract which sets out who has access, how they have to access it.
I was asking if there were any kind of other regulations for who has access to it, who can review it, whether or not people need to be notified that they're on camera, is there audio? I don't know much about it. That's why I'm asking.
Okay, I'm trying to answer. Okay. Okay. There are cameras there. There are cameras on each of the corners. There's cameras that watch the front. The camera that watches the inside. So if you come into or out of the building, you're filmed. There is no audio recorded at this point. It is all recorded for a period of time. It can be accessed electronically. It is generally not accessed by anybody unless there is an event or a question which requires looking at it. And at that point, I think there's only specific people who can look at it. It very rarely gets checked. It got checked after the fire department resigned, or actually before they resigned, but while things like trucks, et cetera, people were going in and might be taking things, so that got reviewed.
Well, who does? Yeah, who can
I looked
review?
At it at the time. I think Kelly looked at it at the time. Yeah, there are specific rules about it. We can look them up.
Okay. But as far as what, who can review
it? Who can review it, why they can review it, when they can review it.
Can I get a copy of those rules?
It's in the employment contract.
Yeah, can I get a copy of that?
You don't have the employment contract?
The contract?
I'm sorry.
Employee handbook.
Not the contract.
I'll forward it to you, Mike.
I don't know that it covers, I mean, I haven't looked at it in a while. I don't know that it covers who reviews the tapes. It generally, as I recall, informs employees that. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it goes into that detail.
We'll pull it out about the log and all the rest of it.
Okay, I don't recall. It's been a while.
We'll pull it out because we looked at it before.
Not a question.
Okay. Mike, there's nothing secret about people looking at it.
Motion detection?
Well, we used to have motion detection.
Okay. That's what I would do, just personally.
In the building? Well, we clearly need a new alarm system. Our alarm system was put in 1922.
They had alarm systems then?
Yeah, yeah. Every time you walk in the room, somebody runs out and yells, alarm, alarm. I mean, I know, I can tell you exactly when the code was last changed. Just guess which year?
Seven?
No, it was before that. And for the most part, it doesn't work, and every time the installers look at it, they just shake their heads and walk away. So mm-hmm. we do need to do that. I have been urging that one of the things we really should do is have ID cards and ID locks, because that allows us not only to easily set people up to get in and out, but it also allows us to turn it off if we have to, if somebody quits. Mm-hmm. It also makes it easier for people. For instance, it records their time. So if you're on a timesheet or time card, we'll do that as well. So you can swipe your time card, you can swipe the doors, whatever.
Handprints, iris scanners, yeah.
Yeah, no. Let's keep it cheap and easy. But I think we have other budget issues that need to be handled before we go there. Counselor, do you have anything?
No report, Mayor.
Okay. Ms. Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Rep.
Okay, well, for Finance, obviously, the budget should be ready. Well, apparently, Mr. Lang said it was ready today. I didn't see the final copy. But I will bring up, see if it's possible to still change it, and bring up the possibility of having branch pickup twice a year. But that we should be receiving that any day. For Planning Board, it was a pretty short, uneventful meeting, except for a very long discussion concerning a resident's request to put, it's hard to describe, a shed-like structure.
Carport.
Well, it was...
Technically, it's carport.
Technically, it's called a carport, but it wasn't the typical carport that you visualize, like a little covering. It was much more... was bigger than that and more entailed. And it's really indicative of the problem that we have in Roosevelt, which is that there's no storage room. People have, our culture has changed tremendously, and people have a lot of stuff today. When these houses were built, including the houses in the estates, people had a minimal amount of possessions.
I'm sorry, for all you youngsters, the Lake Drive is the estates. No, the old portion of Lake Drive is the estates.
Is the estates, right. So people have so many more possessions today than they did, and it's an ongoing problem what to do about storage. So this resident requested to put this carport-like structure up, but we never made a decision. The planning board did not make a final decision on whether that would be permitted or not because of the scope of it and the size. And so we have to have further discussion about it. And it's really a problem for everyone in town. I think at some point we're going to have to revisit the shed ordinances and other types of storage structures because everybody has so many more things today than they ever did. Mm-hmm. It's just a problem. Personally, I think that's part of the reason that houses don't sell in town as well as they used to, because no one wants to buy a house today that has no basement, no attic, no crawl space, just no storage at all. And that was the most of the discussion of the planning board was whether to permit this carport or not. But I think it will lead to a larger, more entailed discussion of what to do about storage in Roosevelt. And I met with Eric Schubiger to discuss 4th of July plans and also the summer camp, which leads to another issue, but I will bring that up under new business. So.
Just a couple of things. Everybody wants a basement, but as somebody who has one that floods, there's a yin and a yang. And you learn to, in storms, to run up and down the stairs with marine batteries to keep it going.
Yours was like an add-on basement.
Yeah,
it wasn't built from scratch.
Yeah. And the estates also have them. I just want to make one comment. Just to clarify, the issue with the structure, the carport, that the citizen wants to put up, in addition to the size, is one of the problems that we've had from a zoning point of view is people have put up little carports and then filled them to the brim with stuff. And they become an eyesore and cause all kinds of problems. And so while there's no personal reason why we wouldn't want this person to be able to put up this carport, which he's trying to put up to cover equipment, as in permanent equipment, the fact that you have to be very careful about how, if at all, we would create the variance that would permit him or the change that would permit him to do this.
This is indicative of the whole problem with storage.
Yeah. So but the issue is he's not trying to put it up for storage, was all I was saying.
That's why I said it wasn't exactly a carport.
We've got to make sure he's not.
Because people would get the wrong idea from the name carport, but it was really a structure to cover pool equipment.
Ms. Lapota, do you have a very short
I think
report?
Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that the issue is its conditional use application. And since it is before the planning board, I don't think we can really be going into the merits of the case one way or the other.
Very short.
Okay.
Go.
I'm trying to decide whether to call a quick break.
It's pretty short.
Okay.
So we're going to proceed now with replacement of the sodium hypochlorite tanks. That was good that was voted on earlier. And at 6 p.m. tonight, our Water and Sewer Committee met with George Lang to go over the water and sewer portion of the budget. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Lapote?
Joe, Stacy, and me.
Okay, great.
And George.
George.
Okay. I apologize. I'm not going to ask you. I'm calling a break for 3 minutes. Mr. Tickton, if you would. Ready? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We're back. Okay. We now have the report of the Environmental Health and Safety Committee from Mr. Trammell, who I unintentionally had to interrupt.
Okay. I don't have much of a report tonight. Between the fire departments, we've been speaking. I thought so.
Right. I wasn't trying to slip it. I thought.
You can sit out there. You can sit in the audience.
Mr. Trammell, I don't believe our council. I think he wants the break.
All right. We've discussed with our Mr. Esquire Kleinman here the two contracts between Monroe and Millstone, and discussed some of the fine points. And he has made suggestions, and we're passing it back and forth. I don't know that we can get into any numbers tonight or anything like that, but you know, by the next meeting, our special meeting next week on the 17th, hopefully. We will know exactly where each department stands.
I believe we know exactly where Millstone stands. So,
I have a question about that, if I can talk numbers here tonight.
Two things. One, emergency services discussion is the first thing under old business. And the second is, as I have expressed to our attorneys, I am very uncomfortable both ethically and legally with this process. So right now I'd rather not discuss numbers.
Okay.
But be more specific about what process.
What process? We take. We ask somebody to bid on something, and then we take their contract and we bring it back to somebody else and say, "Can you match this?" If these were bids or quotes that were being submitted to the town, not only would that be unethical, it would be absolutely illegal. The mere fact that we are in shared service. May not be technically illegal, but I'm troubled by the ethical issues surrounding it.
But you said that you met with Millstone by yourself a few weeks ago and then came back with a different contract than they had originally.
No, I never showed Millstone any contract.
So they just changed their...
They never changed, Peggy. They never gave us the original contract. We discuss what the long-term rate would be, going from 9.5 down to 8.5. The numbers of 30, 45, and 60 were never discussed with me.
Were never what?
Discussed with me. You put it. You put them in as something that was done. They were never discussed with me.
We got those numbers from you. You said 30, 45, 60, 75, 90. We learned them from you. We weren't at those meetings.
No. I suggested that there would be a ramp up and it could be a variety of possibilities. But they never made a basic offer until the document was delivered.
Okay, so I guess what we were asking for with Mr. Kleinman was to show enough numbers in the contracts on either side to show the future of the contracts beyond 3 years. It's basically what it is, and how it would work inside of the contract.
So when you have a contract that has been approved by them for signature, I mean, right now all you can show us is what you sent back to them or what you think they're going to agree to. So we need to know.
I'm talking about how you arrived at the final figure in the Millstone contract. Monroe has got to figure out what they want to do this way or that way. I'm not, you know.
How we agreed on the final figures? We went in and negotiated.
Well, no. I'm saying the numbers that you negotiated, the 72, I believe you said, the last meeting, after 5 years, that should be in the contract. That's all we're saying. You know,
it is in the contract.
It wasn't in writing.
Yeah, it is in writing. It's in version 3 of the Millstone.
On the 17th, I'll look again, but I didn't see that number in the contract. I saw the dollars per, you know, 11 cents per, you know.
There are three Millstone proposals, right?
Right.
Millstone 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so number 3 was 30, 30, 30.
Right.
Right?
45.
So why don't you finish your report, because the first thing we go into after hearing from Mary is old business emergency services.
Well, that's my report.
Okay.
You know, it's just, you know, what we've gone over with Steve.
Yeah, we're gonna go back into it.
Okay.
It's next on the agenda. After we had requested Mary to speak on
stream
management, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Michael Hamilton, Council Member Hamilton, had a question about exactly what stream monitoring was. And mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
This is the section entitled Reports of Borough Officials, or as requested.
Yeah. I have a pair that will fit you.
And one of those sun hats that Eitan wears would be nice.
Well, just very quickly, the stream assessment is, there's two parts to it. There's a habitat assessment where we're looking at the kind of trees, the canopy, how fast is the stream flowing, does it look like there's pollution, like oil sheen on the water and things like that. And there's certain, we've been trained to fill out certain forms, so that this data is consistent and even could be shared with other monitoring groups. Anyway, so there's that picture of things. And then there's, we measure out like 100-meter section of the stream, and we gather samples. And what we are trying to do is gather up these little critters that are macroinvertebrates. And after we have collected our samples, then we sit at tables for hours.
Magnifying glasses.
Right. And we are trying to identify I can't even remember their names now. Anyway.
Ephemeroptera, Plecoptera, Trichoptera.
Right. Yeah. So we categorize and count, and that is going to give us kind of a measure of the health of the stream. If it's very polluted, we wouldn't be finding very many of those things. If there's like a lot of agricultural runoff or chemicals and things like that. So we successfully did a monitoring last June with Eitan and Jane Rothfuss and I, and another watershed ambassador. So we are hoping to repeat again. We have a request to approve June 17th for this. It's coming up later in the agenda. Unfortunately, when we tried to do this last month, we had one volunteer outside of my family who could attend. So it's a very busy time of the year. I'm just hoping we will have enough volunteers to go ahead with this. Like to see.
Are you looking for changes over time?
Yes.
And what kind of benchmarks are you using?
Well, we have the data that we have collected this past time. And I think our overall assessment came out maybe somewhere in the middle. It wasn't an unhealthy stream. It wasn't like, you know,
better than we expected. That we found there's certain of these macroinvertebrates that will only live in polluted streams, and other ones that will, are very pollution sensitive, that will not live in streams that have any pollution. And we actually found fewer of the ones that are very pollution tolerant, and we found more of the ones that were pollution sensitive, which meant stream seems to be doing pretty good as far as the health of it. However, some of the conditions of the stream, as far as the banks of the stream being scoured and more sediment developing, you know, is a little bit of an issue.
Yes, I was hoping we could survey the area right by the bicycle path where the stream has really spread out and kind of see what's happening there. And when our watershed ambassador came to take a look, he said that was not an area that would be suitable for monitoring because you need some kind of flow of the water. We probably wouldn't find anything there.
Yep.
So anyway, so we will probably survey again between Rochdale and Tamara where we surveyed the last time.
Mary, do you have to be an adult to volunteer?
No. In the articles in the bulletin and in that little flyer that went home, it was encouraging high school,
you know,
college students.
I wonder if we could go to the school and maybe extra credit or something, you know, work out something for the sixth graders to help. Or
we could possibly do that. Or high school students.
High school.
You know, I was at one point going to try to contact maybe somebody in an environmental club at the high school. I can still, try to do that.
We just do require a signature of a
parent,
or a guardian to participate, and they kind of need to be old enough to not require a lot of supervision.
Right. Plus, I thought it started with sixth grade.
Also on a comment, Mary, we are the headwater for two different estuaries here in Roosevelt. We're the headwater for the Assunpink Empty Box Creek over there. It starts in Roosevelt or just in Millstone outside of Roosevelt, and also for the Rocky or Stony Brook,
Rocky
Brook that goes the other way. So we are really the stewards of some of the freshest water in New Jersey. We should take that seriously, and I commend the stream committee for doing that. I mean, really do. You know, so I dig streams myself.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mary. And as soon as I find my okay. So now we move to, unless there was some other borough official here, no. Okay. So now we move to old business emergency services discussion. I wanted to start off by saying that throughout this process, we have we've had discussions, and certainly there are different views which reflect a, as usual, certainly in Roosevelt, different views of approaching the same problem. I, for instance, and fairly obviously, believe that being close and having a very long-term relationship is very high on the list of priorities in choosing a fire company. Mr. Tickton, I believe, believes that the fact that there is a 24-hour paid squad is of a very high
advantage
or should be high on the list of priorities. And those are honest political disagreements over various factors. And I say that not knowing whether that is your true feeling or you've changed your feeling or anything else. I'm not pointing at you in particular, but there are certain things on which we really should be able to agree. And I've been sort of been banging my head against the wall about this whole thing about how long it takes to get here from Monroe. So what I did was, the first thing I want to ask is, because it becomes increasingly clear that maybe we're starting from the wrong building. Mm-hmm. The building that we're talking about is at 10 Halsey Reed Road. Not the first old fire building that you see on the way up. Okay.
Yeah, we clarified that the last time we discussed it.
So I went up there, and we can all look at the screen. That's their webpage.
This is what you showed us at the last meeting?
No, we didn't believe my movie, so I'm doing simple math. this is their website. It says that their address is 10 Halsey Reed Road, Monroe. If you go to Google Maps or MapQuest, each one of them says it's 6.3 miles, and it will take 11 minutes to get here.
6.3 to where?
6.3 to Hilltop, which is 40 Clarksburg Road. Formula, which I got from Common Core grades 4 and 5, so we don't have to argue about whether the formula is right or it's my math. Time equals distance divided by speed. You can check the formula by saying, okay, if it's 6.3 miles and we're going 60 miles an hour, those of you who used to drive on the turnpike at 60 and not 95 know that 60 miles an hour, 6.3 miles, takes 6.3 minutes. So if you do the formula, 6.3 miles divided by 60 miles an hour equals 0.105 minutes. 0.105 times 60 is 6.03 minutes. I think we can all agree on that. We now change it to 45 miles an hour, which is the average speed, except in Roosevelt, between Monroe and Hilltop. Same calculation, comes out 0.14 minutes or 8.4 minutes. So Google says 11, MapQuest says 11. I did it in 10 minutes and 20 seconds, so I must have been speeding. But how do we get to 10.20? And by the way, I forgot something in here. 6.3 miles at 45 miles an hour is 8 minutes, 24 seconds. I should point out that what I forgot to do this time, although I had it in the original one, but I lost it, is you lose another minute by coming through Roosevelt, which you should. Go down to 35 miles an hour, 0.6 miles, so you'll add a minute to all this. Route 33 light. Remember, we were told we traveled at the speed limit, stopped at the light, and then continued through. So make the light a minute, okay? You now have a hard left, a hard right, a hard right, a hard left, and a hard left. Each one of those has a stop sign, with one exception. So in order to, sorry, two exceptions. In order to go through a stop sign, you have to slow down, stop, and turn. So I assigned 10 seconds to each one of those. The other way would have been to simply say it's another minute to get through Roosevelt. That comes out to 10 minutes, 14 seconds. I guess I was slower than some, faster than others.
Company has the fire engines have the capability of changing the light. They don't have to wait for the light at 33.
I will quote your letter. He came in 5 minutes, 28 seconds, following the speed limit, and stopped at the traffic light on Route 33.
But when he made that, when he was speaking to us, he said, obviously, it would be even faster in the fire engines because they have the capability of changing the light.
My point is, the claim was 5 minutes, 28 seconds, at speed, whatever, speed limit. In order to do that, 5 minutes, 28 seconds, on a straight line at a constant speed, you would have to, when you can check the math, be going 68.7 miles per hour on a straight line with no curves. Okay? So the time for somebody driving the speed limit to get here is about between 10 minutes and 20 seconds and 11 minutes. Can we agree on that?
No.
No. Okay.
You're saying that Jim was wrong in his...
You're saying Jim was lying?
That's basically what you're saying.
No, I'm saying Jim was wrong. Jim may have started
from... That's what I said, that you're saying Jim was wrong.
No, she said, are you saying Jim is lying? No. I'm saying Jim was wrong. He could have started from the wrong firehouse.
I said...
He started from Halsey. He said that.
Okay, well...
Okay, so...
All right.
Has anyone else driven it?
Oh, I've driven it. I showed the tape. Remember,
anyone
I had
else
two.
Driven it?
I had two dash cams.
And how long did it take you?
We've Joe and I have driven it.
7.5 minutes, not counting the weight of the.
We've done it. I've done it with Mike. I've done it by myself. Yeah.
Michael.
It took me about 6 minutes, 45 seconds.
Took me a little over six, maybe 7 minutes. I did it once. Yeah. Okay.
And I did not do the speed limit at 45. I have to admit, I drove my regular speed, which is probably excessive.
My regular speed is absolutely excessive. Yeah. I had to sit there and go, no, no, no. And when I came through Roosevelt, I apologized last time because the speed limit's 35.
Yeah.
There was a Mack truck on my rear end, and I was going 40.
I'm not saying that it would take that long.
And the fire engines don't do the speed limit either.
And Peggy,
so
how long
your point
did it
is,
take you?
Your point is that Jim
how
was wrong.
How long did it take
and, you?
Know.
It took me about 6.5 minutes. Okay.
How can it take you 6.5 minutes to get from Halsey Reed Road at the speed limit
up
to
Hilltop? I got to 33, and the light had turned green, and it just...
I don't care. It sells 6.3 miles.
It doesn't matter because I don't agree with yours either. So it's a, you know.
I think if you want to get an independent.
Right. That's what I said the last time.
Oh, spend more money. Good idea.
Okay. I had,
okay. So what's the
Mike,
next point?
Mike, I had two dash cams that showed you what was through the windshield, the speed, and the location.
I saw all that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. All right. My cameras are biased.
And you're not.
Oh, come on. Okay.
I figured
that fourth grade math would pretty well prove that that's not correct.
You can make anything. Yeah, you can use any kind of formula to strengthen your.
How about we get the state police to do it?
Okay.
Can we do
can
that?
Can we agree that it's dark outside at the moment?
Sorry?
Can we agree it's dark outside at the moment? I'm just checking. Okay.
Can we get the state police to time it?
Sure.
Can
you
ask them?
I think
that there are differences of opinion. It's nothing to do with whether or not I think it's dark or light outside. We have differences of opinion, and all I'm saying is that we should get somebody who's independent to do it. It
great.
Won't cost a lot. Won't cost anything.
Mr. Hamill. Mr. Hamill, what do we not agree on?
We don't agree on the amount of time. If you're saying it takes 10, 11 minutes to make that trip, other people are saying it takes 6, 7 minutes, and we have, you know, some other people doing it.
I didn't say it took 11 minutes. I said Google says it takes 11 minutes.
I'm not arguing. I'm suggesting that we get somebody.
Why don't we all get in the car?
See, again,
what?
Why?
Why doesn't everybody do it on their own, come up with their own idea, and then we move on to the next point?
We don't need ideas.
Let's move on to the next point.
Okay.
Everybody will have their own facts then.
Right.
Okay.
Joe, you asked about Millstone 3.
I was just asking about the 72, and could that be in the contract, and how does it
Millstone
2
says the sum of $30,000 a year, right. I'm not using exact words, it says annually, but for the first, second, and third 12-month period, right? The sum of $45,000 for the fourth year, right? And the same rate as is then charged by the board to the residents of Millstone for fire protection and suppression services for the fifth year of the term and each year thereafter,
right.
Which rate shall be calculated as an amount per each $100 of assessed valuation of real property within the borough, within
so
Millstone.
So
that is, if it was done today, it would be about $72,000.
So could that number and that calculation be in the contract is all I'm saying.
The calculation
because I was
is
asking
in the contract.
Monroe to do something similar.
It is in the contract. The rate is set annually based on just as we set our tax rate annually. The fire district sets its rate annually based on its
and
budget.
Their rate just went up this past month. But
so did Monroe's. So
and your report.
But Monroe's charging us a flat rate, so it doesn't matter if their rates went up.
No, Monroe's charging us the same thing for the same period. Monroe's charging you $30,000 for 3 years. Millstone is charging you $30,000 for 3 years. You can take a one-year contract at $30,000. You can take a five-year contract, 3 years at 30, 1 year at 45, and 1 year at their rate. Or you can take a 10-year contract, which gives you the ramp up to 30, 30, 30, 45, and then the same rate that everybody else pays for Millstone.
Or we can wait for Monroe's final contract to come through, where they promised it would go be raised or lowered incrementally after the 3 years.
Okay, but we're not discussing Millstone's contract. Monroe's contract.
He asked
what Millstone's rate was.
What I have here is your meeting with Jill and yourself and Bob Clark and Dave early on last year, I believe it was.
2 years ago, yes.
2 years ago. And it shows that you came up with a figure of $92,000.
Right. So we came up with a figure of $92,000 because the rate at the time was 9.5 per $100 of assessed valuation.
And now it's 1.1.
It's
gone down?
Yes. Yes, it has gone down. It has gone down because, as I have said in the past,
this is 11 cents per $100 on there.
When you combine the assessed valuation of Roosevelt with the assessed valuation of Millstone, you bring the total assessed valuation up, therefore you bring the rate per $100 down. So the rate currently is 8.5%.
I'm just reading what your notes from the meeting was,
from 2 years
and it says
ago,
92,000.
Right.
So
I know what it says, Joe.
So if you could have that calculation and that figure of 72,000 in your contract, I think a lot of us would feel more comfortable. And let me say, I have no dog in this race. I want what's best for Roosevelt. I would love for whoever.
What you would like is something that says if that was calculated today, it would be $72,000. Is that, Joe, is that what you're saying?
I would like the calculation that lives in this to show the $72,000. This is your report from the meeting that you had 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's yellowed out there, it says $92,000 at an excess rate of 11 cents per $100. So
at the end of the meeting, the commissioners clarified that they, I'm going to read it out loud so we're all hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the meeting, the commissioners clarified that they had not yet decided whether they would support anything less than 11 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. So the current range for the annual price of any contract would be between 30,000 and 92,400. How do you interpret that as
and
we agree to 11 cents?
Keep reading.
Approximately Jeff pointed out that approximately 90% of the Roosevelt EMS calls were to service Millstone residents. Two, Roosevelt and Millstone have historically had a good emergency. What am I reading?
Okay. So can those numbers coming up with 72,000 be in the contract? That's all I'm asking.
Right. I'm saying I want to be clear what it was that we could
ask.
Well,
here it says 92. So can you put something in that says 72?
Joe,
that's all I'm asking.
Could you please? As somebody who drafts lots of contracts,
Steve, do you understand what I'm asking here, Steve?
Well, I haven't finished asking, so if you could please let me complete my question, Joe.
All right, sir.
I'm not disagreeing with
you.
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
The rate is based on assessed valuation. Is what you are looking for a statement that says, if we did the calculation today, based on today's rate, this is what the price would be? Is that what you're looking for?
With numbers.
Well, yeah, 8.5 cents times $85 million divided by 100. Okay. As the rate that would be today.
It comes out to 72,000.
Yeah.
Sure, put it in the contract. That's all I'm asking.
Okay. That's what I said. I'm not disagreeing with it.
I'm asking Monroe to do something similar also. They might not want to do it.
I'm just saying. Monroe's rate now is
0.1385 per 100. They're not talking about dollars per 100. They're talking something else. We're asking them to give us some idea of what it would be like after 3 years. If CPI or if it's more calls to Roosevelt or whatever. But we would like, as business people, for the numbers to be in the contract. That's all. I'm not trying to break anybody's chops here. Believe me, I am not.
Joe,
okay.
I'm trying to give you exactly what you want because I don't want to come back and hear you say or anybody say you got it wrong. So I'm being very specific. I'm not being specific to give you a hard time.
Wrong. I'm just saying,
okay.
Could those numbers be in the contract? You can keep my copy.
No, it's all right. I have thousands.
Thank you.
I wrote it.
All right.
So I can certainly ask Millstone if they would be willing to put an example which said if it was done today, this is the rate times your assessed valuation, and this is what it would be for the year.
Thank you.
Certainly. Millstone, would that be something you would be willing to discuss?
We certainly are open to discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dave Markunis, who heads the Fire Commission in Millstone.
Did you invite him here tonight?
I told him he's always welcome here. Is there anybody who's not?
No, I just wondered why someone from Monroe wasn't here.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked if you invited Mr. McKinnon.
No. I believe he's shown up at just about every meeting.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Recently. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes, recently. Okay. All right. So, is that all we have to discuss about? Well, we don't have anything to discuss at Monroe because we don't know what they're proposing, right?
Well, they have to decide what they want to do.
I will tell you that I had a long conversation with Mr. Stout, Monmouth County, who expressed a strong preference for staying within the county and staying to the closest facility. I believe that he is likely to come to the next meeting. of our council to discuss that.
Our special meeting?
17th.
On the 17th?
17th, yes.
Okay, cool.
We have to confirm that, but he is currently planning. Other people from the county may or may not come. One of the things, two things that have been discussed generally is that many of the senior people at the county and at the county's fire marshal are concerned that cross-county shared services lead to a number of technical and practical issues, but that also that we've discussed the governor's emergency declaration before. So they had two other concerns. One was that with respect to future regionalization, it may cause an issue. And the second was that, according to their codes, which is why I don't think you're going to get that language out of Millstone, that they are required to deal first with the emergencies in their coverage area, second with the county, and then third with an outside. So that was his comment.
Special counsel, can you compile some kind of list of cross-county?
Well, there's a few examples
yeah,
of
like
that, Tewksbury,
yeah,
Washington
like
Township. There's a few,
ask,
but,
yeah,
but this should all be worked
yeah,
out.
We're talking,
but they should
we're
be
talking about
contract.
Emergency services
right.
in particular.
Yes.
Right. And
I'm sorry,
like
are you questioning
like
Mr. Stout now?
I would like to have an example of different towns who are in different counties.
Okay.
You know, Jeff, because you didn't propose it and you didn't come up with it, there's no need to be dismissive and laugh. I'd like to know if I could have a list of various towns who are contracted to each other, but they're in different counties. So that we can maybe get an idea of how it's working for them, how
I will,
feel about it.
I will point out that we have contracts with Hightstown,
I know
which
that.
Is in a different county.
I know that.
None of those
I'm
are emergency
well
services.
I'm well aware of that. I would like a
actually
list.
None of those are emergency services
I
contracts.
I would like a list
and
I
understand.
Find to see, to talk to the towns, and get an idea of how they feel it's working for
you
them.
You asked the council for a list, which he's getting.
Right.
So okay, so we do
what's
have
emergency services and what's not.
So what it comes down to is who has what and what contract.
Right.
And that's how we should look at it. So we're still waiting for the contracts to come back to us in
mm-hmm.
a completed sort of a form.
Yeah.
And then we as a council can make a decision.
Right.
Yeah. I was simply pointing out that various statements have been made about what Mr. Stout said and didn't say. And I had a long conversation with him which seemed to be at odds with.
Okay, well, we're down to contracts now, so we'll...
Let's well, out we do still have to deal with the issue of county,
and
it
that should
be
in the contracts also. Yes.
The question is whether we can override the county, whether we can override the state.
Again, we were just
with
asking
what?
For different examples
yeah.
of different out of county OEMs and service
mm-hmm.
agreements and whatnot. So,
yep.
so we'll look Agreed. At that. We'll look at that.
And it never came up when we discussed it with Monroe at a public meeting. They didn't
no,
think
Jim
any
said
issue.
It was he could give his paperwork on that. So we'll.
But I have not seen it. I was the one who asked for paperwork. I haven't seen it.
Well,
sure. Jim said he could. I asked him specifically if he could override the state's mandate that equipment not go to adjoining towns
yes.
or adjoining counties without
mm-hmm.
The OEM's current consent.
Yes.
And his response was yes.
Counties
I said, do you
and
have that
state.
In writing?
Counties and state, he said yes.
And I said, do you have that in writing? And he said yes. I said, would you bring it to us? And he said yes. I have not yet seen it.
So we
That's
can
all
remind
I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
So we now move on. Let's see. At 9:30, we're going to hit the public portion.
No, new business.
I know.
Shall
well,
I
I'm
get
hoping that we can get through that. Well, maybe we can
get
through
Rich
that.
To
Shall
back
I get
again?
Mr. Shakely back?
Steve
I don't
can
know
go.
Where
we don't
want
to pay him for sitting here.
Well,
and not doing
no, we
anything.
Do because we're now going to have shortly going to have the public comments,
oh,
and the public may bring up matters.
Right. Well, let me see if I can find him somewhere. Where do people hide out around here?
If I told you, you'll have to find a new place.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll
get out there.
Okay. I've lost him. Because I probably would have to reach out to the OEM coordinator and see if he has any examples of.
Tewksbury, Washington Township.
Okay, we're moving to new business. We start with number one, stream monitoring training. I think we've covered that. Okay. Two, branch pickup, week of June 5th. Covered that?
Yep.
We might make it by 9:30, Joe.
No.
Mayor's award.
Mayor's award for public graduation in the amount of $100. We do this every year. Do we even need a vote on this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Okay.
$100.
Yeah. Most vote? Yeah. All right. Okay. Can somebody make a motion to approve?
Yes,
I'm not sure we have to, but
we
whatever. We do what?
He wondered if we had $100 certification.
Ah, okay. Someone want to make a motion on the... I don't think we have to do that.
Is it $100 cash gift or is it a savings bond or what is it?
Cash bond.
Small and marketable.
It's a check. It's always been a check, yeah. Actually, I think that's within my purview. I'd like to vote on it. Okay. Monmouth County Shared Services Summit. I went. Our OEM went. It was quite an interesting presentation. The county is providing, they provide snow plowing, they provide fire truck washing, they provide maintenance, they provide
recycling.
Although that's, I'm not sure that's on the shared, maybe it is.
Millstone, that's where we take our recycling.
That's who picks. No, is it Hightstown or?
What?
Our recycling.
Hightstown.
Mike, our recycling, is that Millstone?
That's
or
Hightstown.
Hightstown.
That's Hightstown.
Hightstown?
Yeah.
I have to stop taking
Millstone?
Millstone.
Okay.
Hightstown does the garbage.
Oh, yeah, you're yeah. Yes, correct. Millstone's recycling
coordinator. Right. Okay.
Millstone's recycling coordinator is our recycling coordinator.
Yes, exactly.
But the trucks come from Hightstown.
Yeah, well,
the garbage comes from Hightstown.
The garbage comes from
Hightstown.
Garbage always comes from Hightstown.
It's an outside vendor.
Okay. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. Please ignore me. Okay. Anyway, there's a whole series of shared services that they can provide. Mm-hmm. Had a chance to talk to the couple of the freeholders. The OEM wasn't there, but we did talk to a number of the fire people. It was a very interesting conversation. And we have, I'll get it available for anybody who wants it, the folder that talks about all the services they provide. Note that many of the services they provide are more expensive than we can get them here, or in the case of things like fire trucks are cheap, but we don't have any to wash anymore. Things like plowing, we might be able to get for the same price, but we are probably the lowest priority. So we might be able to save a couple of dollars, but you wouldn't be able to get out of your house. So, but we are looking at all of those possibilities carefully.
I know in Millstone, we have them do some grinding of some of the roads, and the pricing is pretty...
Yeah, that may not be a bad idea, because they come right through here anyway.
Did you say grinding?
Yeah, okay.
Grinding.
Oh,
grinding.
Salt for
water.
Grinding,
I didn't know what that was.
Oh, you have? Oh, apparently. Oh. Oh, yeah. Here you go, guys. You got them. Mm-hmm. If anybody from the audience would like one, I think I have the original, so. Okay.
Earlier we talked about street cleaning and catch basins. That is one of the possible shared services.
Number five, use of the Borough Hall, May 27, 2017, regarding making a video for a charity organization. You had Ezra the Helping Hand. I'm going to strongly advise against this one and suggest that we simply decline it.
Why?
I don't think it would be in our interest to allow it.
Okay, that's not answering why.
Okay. They're subject to an attorney general's order for operating a false charity, and they're subject to the terms of a consent for at least 3 years. We are in that three-year period. That's sufficient enough.
False charity?
Yes. Violating the charitable rules.
Mm-hmm.
You can go home and type in the name of the charity and their name, and it will come up. If there's any reason to air it more. We now go to the...
I have some things I'd like to bring up for new business.
Oh, okay.
So wait, so number five?
Number five is we are going to decline there.
Decline.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, a few things. When you mentioned the parking signs that some parking no parking signs have to be erected. I was wondering, I don't know if this should be brought up here or at the planning board, but I've been told that no parking signs were promised at the synagogue because people are parking, first of all, in the wrong direction.
We said we would look at it and we have to do an ordinance.
Right, so when can we put it on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah, you have to do an ordinance.
That's what I'm saying, but I've been getting mixed messages. It was promised, it wasn't promised.
Is that the only area that you're concerned about?
Well, that's right now. That's
well, we also have.
But I've had complaints.
I mean, there are other non-parking areas.
Yeah.
We may want to make sure that the sewer plant is in there.
Right, that's what I said. We discussed sewer earlier, and right, so maybe we could put it on the agenda.
Well, you don't want to put it on the agenda. You want to do an ordinance.
We had to put an ordinance on the agenda.
Well, yeah, okay. Okay, let me try it this way. Rich,
yeah.
Would you draft an ordinance covering no parking from either in the area in front of the sewer plant, except for authorized vehicles, and in the area directly in front of the synagogue, starting from where the sidewalk is currently, to, I believe it was 50 feet on either side of that.
Would that be sundown Friday night till sun up Sunday morning?
That would be ever.
Oh, okay.
All hours. I'm sorry, is the sidewalk only on a portion of the road? Is that what you're
telling? So the front of the front of the synagogue, I should put a drawing program, is here. Here's the synagogue. They have a sidewalk.
So the sidewalk running to the... Oh, I thought you meant a sidewalk parallel with the road.
No, so from 50 feet here, 50. And we can go out and measure and double check and make sure that's
just in front of that lot. What's wrong with just saying that in front of that lot?
Is it 100-foot frontage on that lot?
Well, I guess you could say if you put the signs up between the signs. I mean, you can't say on the lot because persons wouldn't know looking at the
signs.
The lot.
Between the
signs. But in the ordinance, to define the area of no parking, you can make reference to the portion of the street fronting that particular lot.
Right.
We're only trying to solve a particular problem, right? I mean, people do need to park there to go to pray and to attend things and whatever. The particular problem is that because of where that that sidewalk is, if somebody parks there, and they do every day for reasons which I cannot understand, they pull out from a building 50 feet away and move over to there, it then... increases the danger dramatically of an accident of somebody trying to pull out of the driveway across the way, which is how
and
this came
coming
up.
Down the street as well. Because sometimes if they're parking or they're there, the headlights are off and on, and it's very off-putting. You're coming down the street and there's headlights to your right.
Yeah, but that's a state police matter. I don't think we can.
Well, I'm just saying if you couldn't park there, that would eliminate that situation.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I'm very hesitant to eliminate all parking for a religious institution, which
you
is what
I
we're
only
doing.
Mean. At that small section.
The 50-50.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But it will also eliminate the headlights in your eyes and you can't exactly tell where they're coming from.
Nah, they'll just move forward.
Can I just point something out here? The problem is that you know, like people parking opposite someone else's driveway, that's a problem that's throughout the community.
Everywhere.
It's not there's nothing unique about that spot.
Well, it is. It is unique because you have a narrow road, you have a lot of people parking there, and that driveway, as you come down that driveway, it's very difficult to actually make that.
And there's
I
understand that, but I'm saying because you don't commonly have too many people parking in the street, but there's still no prohibition about people parking in the street. So if somebody habitually decides to park opposite somebody else's driveway, that's creating exactly the same hazard.
At that point.
So it's not a unique hazard. The used to have signs up there. They were never backed up by an ordinance. The reason for the synagogue was that because it's a public assembly building, that there's especially the fire emergency vehicles are needed because it's an emergency. That was the reason for not having, not allowing parking in front of the synagogue. But of course, it was never backed up by an ordinance, so the signs had to be removed because they weren't enforceable. But if there was a desire to enforce it, that would be a good reason to distinguish that site from other sites.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The public assembly area more than 20, more than 40 people here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of other things I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, I had a meeting scheduled with the recreation director, and I was locked out of the building. So who made the decision to change the locks on the front door?
The front door made the decision. It was broken.
Who made the decision to change the locks?
Well, let's see. The handle was spinning like this.
I don't need to know why.
Well, you're going to find out why, or I'm not going to answer the question.
Jeff.
I'm tired of the demands, Peggy.
Demands? You change the locks. You don't consult with the council at all. You don't send out an email that says, oh, by the way, FYI, we changed the locks on the door, so come down and get a key. You just get here, and you're locked out. How do you not inform the council at all that you've made this decision to change the locks, and you don't tell anyone?
Okay.
And then you come, and you can't get in the door.
To everybody who could not get in, who did not get an email,
there were no
I apologize.
Emails sent to the council people.
There was. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. Next item.
No, I would like to know why an email wasn't, why people weren't informed, why the council wasn't informed that locks had been changed, and if you have any kind of meeting scheduled or need to get into the borough hall after hours, you will be unable to.
There was a lot of stuff going on. The locks were broken. We called in the locksmiths. They changed the locks. We made a number of copies. I put all this in an email. They made a number of copies. They weren't sufficient to cover everybody, so we gave them to the people who had to get into the office every day. We then went and ordered more keys. In the interim, you needed to get in. We had sent emails to Eric telling him that they were under the mat.
But
you checked the front mat, not the back mat, which is where they were,
well,
which
we
is what the email
Kelly
said.
And Kelly relayed that it was under the mat. She did not specify back door.
The emails very specifically said under the mat, under the back door. I can give you a copy if you'd like. I already sent them to the rest of the council. So I'm sorry that you were not informed about the
well,
key.
Well, it's not that you should be sorry that I'm not informed. We're not operating properly. The council should be informed about a decision like that. We shouldn't have to find out after the fact.
Okay,
we have
pipes break all the time. We have locks break all the time. We have problems with the computers all the time. We have an amazing number of problems in this building, an amazing number of problems on the road. People come in and ask about all kinds of things.
We're not people,
and
we're the council.
I'm very tempted to agree with that, but nonetheless, a lot of things go on. That's why the mayor is the administrative officer to take care of a lot of that stuff.
And it is the mayor's duty to inform his council.
Not of everything, Peggy. I already said I'm sorry I didn't send you an email.
Well,
if you'd like to flagellate me, you're welcome to do it, but I'm done with this conversation.
You can be dismissive as you'd like, but you should have informed the council. We should not have to find out after the fact, after we get locked out and I have a meeting in my car.
Didn't bother me.
Well, maybe you didn't have a meeting where you couldn't get into the front door.
Eric had two emails that told him exactly where the key was so that this would not happen. The fact that he did not read his emails, the fact that even after he got the text,
well,
he didn't bother
email.
To check the back mat. He just checked the front, you, and he checked the
yes,
front mat.
Did.
Okay, it said check the back mat. He didn't. I'm sorry.
Well,
so we're done because we're not going to continue this.
Had we known beforehand, the situation did not happen.
That's why we emailed him.
But I wasn't emailed.
Can we move on? Actually,
yes,
when we did the concert the other night, we had to make a few calls to find out it was under the back mat. We finally got in and set the concert up, but we had no idea. So.
Right. Yeah, but that wasn't.
And I would suggest, by the way, if a problem like this comes up, again. You all have my cell phone number. You all have Kelly's cell phone
number.
We did call you all
Kelly.
Have the.
She said, check the mat. It's under the mat. There's two mats at the front door.
Okay.
Oh
all right,
my
we're moving on. Please, let's move on.
Feel free to call me if you have a problem.
I have one last motion. I would like to know if R3M, we have all kinds of questions about the work and the studies and the bill. Can they come here? Can they come to a council meeting, do a presentation, show us what they've been working on, what they've done, how they feel about the bill, or if you don't want to get into the bill because it could be legal ramifications, but cover everything else besides the bill.
As I said earlier, towards the end of the week, I did a full analysis of their invoices. I sent it out for review by our professionals, and a copy to Jill and a copy to Kelly, who were familiar with most of what was happening, to make sure I didn't get the facts wrong. And once I'm assured that the facts are correct, I'll be more than glad to give it to you.
But I would like R3M to make an appearance here. They came once before. They did a PowerPoint. They discussed what they were going to be doing with the water sewer system. Can you call them and ask them to come to a meeting?
Yeah, but let's have a clear understanding of what they're coming to do.
I'd like an explanation from them of what they have been doing and what. I want to see the work they've done.
Well,
I want them to discuss.
We have the invoices which describe line by line.
I know we have invoices. I would like them to come here and make a presentation.
I think what Peggy's saying is it would be easier to figure out that we should give them money if they showed us what we're buying with the money.
I don't think the issue of whether or not you like what they did has any relation to
liking it.
No one said like.
We're spending money for something. Can they show us what we spent the money for? And can they answer questions about it? That's all.
Fine.
Yeah.
Will you do that, or should we have someone else do that?
As I said, I received a phone call for them on Thursday. The nature of the phone call was, I understand that the bomb was defeated, yes, and what are you planning on doing? And I said, basically, we're talking about it.
How are we going to make that decision process?
I think at some point in the very near future, it's going to come up on an agenda, and we'll deal with it.
Yeah, I think that'll have to be addressed in executive session, in upcoming executive session. Yeah.
So I think that R3M would be happy to come and talk about some of the work that they're doing. They probably will not specifically talk about any results from any of this study, which they haven't been paid for. So I think they can talk about their general technical assistance, their emergency work, the work that they did on laterals involving various homes on Lake Drive. There are many things that are covered in those bills which are outside of the study, which I think they'd be happy to talk about. And in general, they can talk about the status of the sewage treatment plant and some of the...
Why wouldn't they discuss the results of the study if they expected to
pay? We haven't paid them. We haven't paid them.
I understand. We're not asked to pay bills. We usually like to see the products they deliver.
Well, if you'd like to vote that the thing will be paid, then I'm sure they'll do it. But it's a work product. And because it's a work product that is...
When you say it's adversarial, you mean because you're making it adversarial. I think you do, because they did the work. We've turned around and said, we don't want to pay you.
How do we know that they did the work if we haven't seen any kind of results?
You have.
What have we seen?
You've got a document.
No. That document predated those studies.
I would ask. I will send you out the spreadsheets. I will ask that you take a look at them before they come in.
Okay? I will discuss with R3M what they're willing to come in and talk about.
What are the spreadsheets?
The spreadsheets that I was trying to show you up there that you couldn't see because they were too small. Okay. Their analysis of their bills, entry by entry. How much was spent on things like fixing the water breaks, the pipe breaks? How much was spent on the Rochdale property project? How much was spent on this versus that? Which of those amounts came in after the cutoff date?
I can see a lot of that that's reflected in the bills. So a lot of that information I have already. I have it in my bills.
So you don't want to read the analysis?
No, I don't mind reading the analysis, only if it adds to the information that I already had. But I'd like to find out what actual work they did.
I'll be happy to talk with them and invite them to a meeting. Probably not the special meeting, because that's a special meeting. But, fine. I'll talk with them and get back.
And I would think, Mike, that you would want as much information as possible, and I'm offering to give you an analysis that was done. So all I asked was that people take a look at it first, so we're not asking them the same questions that are already there and obvious.
Fair enough.
Okay. Can we now move to the public portion?
Yes, please.
I might make the suggestion, if there's going to be discussion about the fire, that we maybe have the people all speak first rather than put Rich in a difficult situation.
Yeah. Are there any questions that are going to be about?
You can just do this.
Okay.
Oh no, I'd rather not. Really.
Yeah. No. Don't go there. Okay. We're opening at 9:46. We're giving Mr. Shackley the opportunity to get out while the getting's good.
So this
good.
Is.
Well, no, we may bring you back in, but right now.
Right.
We're talking
okay.
About
what I'm suggesting is everyone who wants to speak on the fire, we put them out of order, have them go first.
Right.
In this
right.
way, rather than having one person speak about fire, then somebody speak about something else, and then
puts
council in an uncomfortable position of playing musical chairs.
Then you can go home even. Okay.
Now, those persons who have questions or comments about the firehouse discussion, would you raise your hands, please? 1, 2, 3. Okay. So I'm going to start from left to right. Ma'am.
Devlin Art, 5 Elm Court. I have a question. I believe way back before we voted on the firehouse, there was a person from the audience that got up and said, when the firehouse is voted down, what are your plans? And we were all told, we'll have an emergency meeting, and in an hour, we will have a contract for Monroe. Where's the contract?
We had a contract. We asked them to modify it.
Yeah, it was a lot of loopholes in that contract, weren't there?
No, there weren't. We asked them to go to...
They would respond at their discretion. That sounds like a good plan. That's really protecting the town. Really.
We're
amazing.
Asking them to alter that, and if they don't alter it, then...
Isn't it a little late now? Did we do all of the investigation
of
what's best
for the town? We're having a special meeting on the 17th, I believe, Jeff.
We'll have it by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have a special meeting on the
17th. I guess going off the fire department, we had a big vote for this bond for the water. Now some of the council members are asking to speak with 3M. Why did we not speak with 3M prior to going out and campaigning against
what
this
I want
contract?
To come and
this
do has
this
nothing to do with.
Well, obviously,
bond.
There's a lot of questions we don't have answered that maybe the council should have known before we went out and campaigned against something. That
you're comparing apples and oranges. That's
no,
not
I'm
what
not
I'm
actually, because
comment.
Obviously you didn't have all of the facts.
Well, you
okay.
have your right.
Yeah. Please direct your comments
that's
to
all,
the
that's
chair.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Moving across, was Mr. Connors?
I'm going to do 2 public portions. I'm just going to do the fire right now.
Okay.
When I worked for the Army,
scary.
I was certified to drive a police car. I was certified to drive an ambulance. I'm certified to drive a fire truck. I could drive a police car a lot faster somewhere than I could an ambulance. I could drive an ambulance a lot faster to somewhere than I could a fire truck. Could everybody on the council, I have to stretch these, but could everybody on the council who's ever driven an ambulance or a fire truck put your hand up here? So, you know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody that's sitting there knows exactly what I'm talking about. You don't have a clue because you've never had to drive a truck that big. Because let me tell you something, when you got a pumper, your braking distance isn't like it is in your little Toyota going down the road. It's not even close. You drive drastically different when you're driving a truck like that. So I hear everybody making all these decisions, and I think it's great, but maybe you need to stop making decisions in a political view and making it from a realistic view, a real world view. And driving a truck in a straight line is one thing. There's nowhere you can go around here if you're in a straight line. No place. So you can have a bigger braking distance. Then you got to get that big truck up from zero back up to that 65 miles an hour, whatever everybody thought they were going to be driving. It takes a long time. So you need to put that in your heads and stop saying, oh, they told me we can do it in 5 minutes. If they come here in a pumper truck in 5 minutes from Monroe, somebody's crushed. Somebody's yard's down. Somebody's house is down. Something's down. Okay, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. So please put that in your heads and think about it. The real world, big heavy truck, slower braking, slower starting. It just doesn't happen that fast.
Thank
Thank you. Ms. Parrott?
Good.
Mr. Allentuck, you'll be after Ms. Parrott. Mm-hmm. See you on the first round. And besides which, I got to hand over the gavel.
Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive, Roosevelt. The first point I wanted to raise, it's too bad that Mr. Markunis left, because right after the last meeting, when you gave that presentation, it was 8.5 cents, when the mayor gave the presentation up on the screen, that it was 8.5 cents for millstone. I Googled it, and I went home, and I immediately found a newspaper article from February 17 that said that the millstone fire commissioners had voted and had increased the rate per $100 from 10.94 to 10.99. Now, that's consistent with what was said during the whole advisory committee era, the question that was on November ballot, do you want to spend, you know, $1.5 million or $3.5 million or whatever it was, but it went through this huge amount of money we'd have to pay millstone. And like I said, either the newspaper lied or the true rate is 10.99 today. So that's just one point I would want in writing from the assessor of millstone, exactly what they charge before anybody says that it's 8.5 or 9.5 or whatever. Because I heard Mr. Markunis say 9.5. That's why I went back and I thought, that's the first time I've ever heard of a municipal rate going down from 11 cents to 9.5. And the newspaper said it didn't. It went up. So that's the first point. And then the second is in terms of time. When all this discussion about how long it takes to get from Monroe to here, I think that it really doesn't matter how long it takes me to drive or you or anybody else here. I agree with Mr. Connors. It's how long it takes a fireman to get here in a fire truck. But a fireman.
Firefighter.
firewoman or fireman, whoever it is, a fire person.
This is the home of the first female fire chief.
Firefighter to get here. I stand corrected. A firefighter to get here. But we already have the statistics how long it takes millstone to get here when their paid crew is not there. Because they're the ones who responded for years at night, not Roosevelt. So we would have the statistics, or they can be obtained, what time the dispatch call went out at 3 a.m. and what time they got here. Because you have to add in, millstone's physically closer, but they don't have a paid crew at night. So I would want to, I think that's relevant, not how long it took me to drive there, because I drive very slowly. It's going to take me a long time, and I'm not putting out fires. So that would be what I would ask, rather than arguing about who drives fast and who drives slow. And then, I would want to look at those statistics, because that's what we would be comparing, really. And then how often has it, but that's what we'd be comparing. It's not going to go down. The time is not going to go down from what millstone has already done in the middle of the night. So we can obtain those facts. So those are the 2 points I have on fire.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who has any questions or comments about fire? Yes, Mr. Allen.
I'm sorry. I don't have a question about fire. I'm tired of those. What I want to know is, there was some discussion at this table.
I'm sorry. If it's not about fire, we can let Rich come back.
It's about fire contracts.
Okay.
I was some discussion, I think I heard at this table, was that contracts were shared between the fire companies or with some fire companies, allowing them to change their contract terms. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is the most unethical thing I have, as far as contracts go, I have ever heard in my life. I've been working on contracts longer than my son has, but of a different kind. And all of them have to do with bidding procedures. And people come to me, and I bid out millions of dollars. And people come to me after the bids are in and say, "Would you tell us what the bids were? We think we can come in lower." I said, "Nobody gets to know what the bids are.
If you want to come in lower and you think you can do better and you've got something wrong, we'll rebid the whole contract to everybody. That's the only fair way I know how to do it. But sharing numbers and letting people see other people's bid, unconscionable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else on fire? Sir?
Bob Cragen, 7th please, School Lane.
Please wait till you get to the...
Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane. I'm missing a few facts that I think should be covered regarding the fire prevention and fire response for Roosevelt that I haven't heard really mentioned here at all. I think we should consider for the future. It's been raised that I think that the referendum stopped the firehouse, but it didn't disband the fire company. Is the fire company officially disbanded?
No. The fire company
okay.
is not disbanded.
So if that's the case, and I suspected that that was the case, that's a very important fact. The key point being that the firemen and the volunteers and the fire company are a very precious resource of Roosevelt that we should not lose or let go if that's all at all possible. And this includes...
They're firefighters and they're gone.
Well, I'm
not firemen. They're firefighters and they're gone.
I'm not finished.
I think
we should make the distinction between the fire department, which is part of the municipality, mm-hmm. and the fire company, which
yes.
is a
that's
the
number one.
The fire department is gone. The fire company is not yet technically dissolved.
Right.
Good. So my point is that wouldn't it make sense to look at the concept of doing a mix and match for response where it might be possible or would have been possible to trade one of our pumpers for two brush trucks, they're called, and then have them parked at various sides of the town. And then if we have local Roosevelt firemen able to produce four firemen, boots on the ground, immediately at a fire call, you know, within 10 seconds of getting the call, they can be out the door grabbing their gear from in their own houses or a special room that they have in their own house, or have that in general gear in the brush truck. I don't know how they'd work it in terms of the mix and match or the logistics. But I've always been told, and it makes sense logically, that when you have a fire, you want to get boots on the ground soonest. The point being that fires spread logarithmically. They don't just grow slowly, and that if you can get somebody there quickly, they may be able to put out the fire when it's small that wouldn't be possible after the fact. And so my point would be that is there any way that we can research the concept of keeping a fire company and our precious Roosevelt firefighters on board to work with whoever gets the contract as a resource, as a first resource, first responders for fires in Roosevelt, specifically with what's called brush trucks, which are trucks with, I guess, all year round devices to put out fires, you know, extinguishers that are not freezable, like that would or using water that would have some kind of antifreeze in it or whatever. But the point is that there should be some way to dramatically save the time of getting boots on the ground to a Roosevelt fire to, number one, assess the situation. Maybe it's a gas explosion and the whole house is gone. And people, the fire companies need to know that, who are going to respond to that. Maybe it's just a simple kitchen fire, and it's just a pot that went up with grease in it that went up on the stove. I think we've had them here. Maybe it's a chicken coop. The point being that these are small things that a brush truck could very easily handle. Now, there's points that you need to look at in terms of the legalities of it that you need, I think it's called the four-man rule, in terms of being able to respond to a fire, to actually fight the fire. But to assess the fire, I think normally what they do is they send one fireman, who's normally the fire chief, to go there with his own vehicle, the fire chief's vehicle, which could be a higher-speed vehicle than a big truck, and that with all the demands of a big truck and the speed demands, but with the siren on, the lights on, and getting to it quickly, if we can have that come from a Roosevelt source, I think that's just a whole lot more efficient than to have it come from either Monroe or from Millstone in terms of getting someone there to, A, put out a chicken coop or a stove fire and or assess the fact that maybe we need a pumper because it's the school that went up or it's the factory that went up. Those are the two places where we really need a pumper. The point is that there should be some way to do what's called a mix and match and appropriately correspond the resources that are available to what the demands of the situation are. And I don't think we've really looked at that as a series of possibilities. And then I would, as the last item here, add that it might be possible to look at what's necessary to keep the Roosevelt firemen happy enough to be able to get them to stay around and help out to Millstone or to Monroe as a local resource to draw on as first responders locally, if that's of interest. And I think from what my two senses, from talking to a few people, I think that may be of interest to them.
I sincerely doubt that the few people you talked to were firefighters, but the firefighters that we had, some are at Millstone, some are at Hightstown, and none of them have any interest in providing service to Roosevelt. And I have spoken to just about all of them, so I can't say none, but the vast majority.
Could I suggest respectfully that same question may be differently responded to, for example, if Joe were to put that question to them?
Go for it. Joe, ask him. I'll bring him in. I'll bring him in. Okay. The other thing I would point out is we no longer have a brush truck. We no longer have any fire trucks. They were all owned by the fire company. The fire company donated them to various organizations. And before I forget, guys, can I get an answer on the hose, please? Because these guys are calling in desperation. I'd really like a decision made once we get out of public session. You've made your point. I appreciate it.
Well, the extension of that, though, would be that the fire trucks might be obtainable, or the bush trucks that I'm talking about might be obtainable as special grants from people who have surplus ones, or you might find that there's money available
point. We're at 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who has any comments from the public having to do with fire? Okay. Do we have other comments from the public? Okay. Yeah, let's get Rich back in here.
Right there.
Tag team the lawyers. Huh? No, I'll have him charged in like a couple of hours.
He has to get up at 4 in the morning. Steve? Are you done?
Thank you. If it's a couple
minutes, I'll go off the clock.
In this crew?
Nothing ever.
Yeah. You can head for the hills as fast as you can.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay.
If you're going to get up early, you should.
Yeah.
Okay.
10,
you'll get home at 11. Please pass that down.
Catch up with the man.
Would you please call on Mr. Ellentuck?
So is he leaving or no?
He's leaving.
All right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If there's only a couple people, I'll wait to catch up on a couple things. I'll go off the clock now unless there's 20 more people waiting to speak.
Steve, do you want to spend the night? You're welcome.
Okay. It's time to sleep over.
All right, let me play it by ear. Okay. Let's do it that way.
You don't even have to sneak out. You can just get out.
Call it
10:00.
Mr. Ellentuck, you had something for public comment?
I do. First of all, just a correction. Worried about putting a hole in the roof to take care of carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is heavier than air. It doesn't go out the roof. So don't worry about it.
May I respond?
No. This is the public sport. You can talk as much as you want after everybody's through. That's the way it works. I understand that the liquor license is for sale. Or
yes.
It's up for sale. That means that the guy who previously owned it doesn't own it anymore.
Correct.
There was a sign up on the delicatessen. It says delicatessen and liquors.
Both the health department and the construction officials, zoning officer, are aware of that, and they have been ordered to either cover it or take it down.
Okay. On the parking at the synagogue, there used to be some illegal signs in front of the synagogue that said no parking. Those are rigorously
ignored.
Not paid any attention to by the parishioners. I expect that they will continue to be not paid any attention to by the parishioners. They park where they like, and they interfere with the other activity on the street, and they are a big pain in the butt to me because they're parking right up into my driveway. They don't park in the driveway; they just park so it blocks the driveway. And I would appreciate it if we left the system the way it is, because it's going to keep on happening the way it is. It's not going to change. The third thing is the last referendum. Can somebody tell me what's going to happen now that we have decided that that there was a vote and the vote said we're not going to pay the bill?
No, the vote did not say we're not
going to
pay the bill.
We're not going to. We are essentially going to do something which leads us to not pay the bills.
No.
Nope. Okay.
No. The bond said, the bond was a permission to issue a bond,
right,
for the payment of invoices.
Right.
They're allowing you to extend it over time. Voting no did not mean we were not going to pay the bill or anything else. It simply meant we cannot raise a bond to do whatever we're going to do.
Okay. So is it the opinion of the council that they are going to pay the bill with current funds or with additional funds somehow?
I don't
or
think
we're just going to sit there and complain and argue?
We're currently
I don't
in
think
discussion.
That we can discuss
Sorry?
That.
We're currently in discussion.
I'm sure of that.
Okay. Those discussions do not involve anybody outside of this group and its professionals. I do not believe we can discuss that right now.
You can't discuss
pending or threatened litigation. It's not a subject for public discussion.
I anticipate the council will be discussing this in executive session at some point.
Richard,
there are.
Thank you.
Yes, Mrs. Ellen Tuck. I think you better hold on to that. She also is related
Mona
to me.
Has the gavel. Charlene Ellen Tuck, 49 Drive.
Mrs. Ellen Tuck, Esquire.
49 Drive. I live with the mayor, as most of you know, and our phone rings constantly. His cell phone rings constantly. There's a branch down. They didn't plow close enough to my driveway. My basement's flooded, my this, that, and the other thing. And he makes decisions constantly. And he deals with issues. And the freaking door lock broke, and he made the decision to replace it. If members of the council want an email, every time the mayor makes a decision, your email boxes are going to crash. And thank you for handling all of these issues for our town. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Allentuck.
Mr. Connor.
Okay. Now I'm talking to Mark Connors, 33 North Rochdale, First Aid Squad. Now, First Aid Squad. I'll refer to First Aid Squad. First Aid, I don't know if you can do this or not. First Aid Squad would like to know if we can get our half of the donation we usually get at this time of the year, because we had to pay our insurance bills and stuff, which we have. But since you don't have a budget, I don't know what.
I believe we can get 26.25%.
There you go.
Okay.
Any money?
Give or take. Yeah.
And take a dime or something. That's fine. Okay. All right. Now I'm talking to Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. Yeah.
By the way, once the budget is finished, then you're entitled to start taking the remainder of it.
Thank
but
you.
None of us can do more than that percentage in the beginning.
That's okay. Fine. We appreciate it. The blatant lies that were being told during some of the things saying fire insurance wasn't going to go up. Fire insurance has gone up. There are people in this room who've got higher bills now. People who will have higher bills. So that's just a fact that you need to put in your head. The second thing is last month, or last meeting, whatever it was, I came and asked about a bill, and I kind of thought I'd hear about it tonight because I thought that the Finance Committee would research it and come back to me. I haven't heard anything, so I'm asking again. Why did this body pay $600 to take leaves off a roof? And I'm asking the Finance Committee.
Was not finance decision.
Okay. I guess I have to back up then. Could someone please tell me how we paid bills? I changed the light bulb. I fixed the sink. I hand you a bill. What happens?
The bill goes, what is supposed to happen?
Yes.
What is supposed to happen is that the bill goes to our purchasing agent, right, who checks to make sure the proper PO and form is filled out. It is then supposed to go to the committee who would be in charge of that. That would be Mr. Hamilton at Public Works. We're talking about a sink now, right? He would then determine whether or not it should be paid. If he was not available, in most cases it would come to me, and then I would make a decision. Very often we get the bill list, and we're not quite sure who's looked at it. I tend to look at the bill list ahead of time because we always get it on the Wednesday preceding. But that's the process.
Okay. Mr. Hamilton, you weren't here, so I apologize. Then I guess this is your question, even though I didn't think I thought it would go to finance. Apparently, we paid $600 to clean a roof off of a building in town. Of leaves. I'm at awe. I'm asking for an explanation. I did assume, or we expected, that the Finance Committee would have went back and looked at the bills. I know, you keep shaking your head, Peggy.
Well, who ordered the work? The question
Peggy,
is, who ordered the work?
No, Peggy, I don't care who ordered.
Well, no, that's...
You stand at every meeting and say, we check the bills, we do this, we do that. Nobody will tell me what this bill is for, though. You weren't here, Mr. Hamilton, so obviously I'm taking you by surprise, and I get that. But you were here.
The question is, who? I don't know who ordered the work. I don't know who approved hiring someone to clean the gutters.
Didn't you find it kind of strange as the head of the Finance Committee?
I find a lot of things strange as head of the Finance Committee.
But I asked a public question, and you didn't have the respect of the public to answer the question
later. I
don't
know the answer.
You should. That's what I'm saying. You should have, at that point, taken the lead and said, where did this money go?
No, the question is, who ordered the work? Who approved the cleaning of the gutters, the cleaning of the leaves out of the gutters? Someone authorized that work
to be done. So the Finance Committee doesn't touch bills?
When the bills come in, we approve or disapprove, but we don't order.
So you approve. So the Finance Committee approved a bill then?
Yes, the work was ordered. It was done. It has to be paid for. But I don't know who ordered the work.
Excuse me, what did you just say? Could you repeat that one more time, please? And make sure that's in the record.
Let's start over.
No, I want that statement in the record.
Well, it's true. We go over the bills. We don't question every single bill. If something seems feasible, if something seems like it's fine, then we don't go. We don't discuss every single solitary bill that's on the bill list.
Mr. Connors.
Yes.
Okay. The bill that you are talking about cleaning off the leaves, was done in conjunction with the replacement of the roof at the water facility. I know that there were problems with the, when they're talking about the drains, they're talking about internal drains that got down and then
right, we paid $400-some to clean those.
And they had to be jetted out. And
right.
I think that's what we're talking about. I will find out and get a breakdown for you.
But this is what I'm talking about. Mr. Hamilton made a suggestion. No, listen to what I'm about to say. You actually like this. I'm making a compliment to you.
I wouldn't know how to take it.
Okay, well, I'm going to make one anyway. He suggested that the bills be put online so the public could see it. Mm-hmm. Well, they did that for two meetings, and I'm being the dummy I am, actually looked at it. So I think you did a good thing. I think you did the right thing in saying people should be able to see them. But if you're not going to answer about them when people ask about them, don't waste somebody's time putting mine. It's that simple.
Okay.
Let me just say that I agree with you about that, which should be a standard maintenance task of cleaning the leaves out of gutters.
Right.
But in this situation, work had to be done because it was a leak. I think it was at the water treatment plant, right?
Yeah.
I think it was. And I have written it down, and I will go back and look at this particular bill. I still can't remember the exact circumstances.
I guess maybe this. I want you to look at the bigger picture all over things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we pay for a part-time public works department. Leaves, roof, public works. Okay, we don't need to pay somebody else $600 to go clean leaves.
Well, it may also be
maybe
utilities.
We don't need. Maybe that person can't do the air conditioning, but certain basic tasks. Yes, we have to look at where we're spending the money. We're not doing that. We're just spending the money. That's what I'm saying. We need to look at it. And yes, there is accountability from every group, including the Finance Committee, who has to approve every single thing.
When that first came up, I asked who approved it. Not because I thought $600 was too much, because honestly, I don't know enough about gutter cleaning to know if that's excessive or not. But I did ask, why did it become cluttered? Why were the gutters
Because there's no maintenance done.
Well, that but that was brought up at a
just like with the air conditioning problem here. There's no maintenance done. There's no maintenance.
Were you at the meeting where we discussed that and making it part of an annual maintenance plan where the gutters get cleaned on top of all the municipal right. buildings? I know we discussed this in an mm-hmm. open public session so that we don't have this problem in the future. So that the gutters are clean.
But we're talking about hiring somebody else to do it, right?
No, we're talking about using our public works.
Okay.
No, we're not. We're talking about getting a shared service with Allentown from an employee.
And then, all right, then I only have one other thing, and I'll sit down, and then everybody's like this for the last time.
Starting with the chair.
Our trash pickup, where does it get dumped?
The chair.
Which county?
Which
county?
Hightstown picks the trash up.
Right. Do they take it to Mercer, or do they take it to Mama?
I have no idea.
Then we're paying twice as much for the trash to get dumped. Monmouth County's landfill is about half the price of Mercer County. Maybe you need to start looking at those things.
Thank you. Ms. Perry? Well, I'm sorry, Mary hasn't gone yet, so.
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. This is in line with our beautiful community of Roosevelt. Many, many years ago, when Gail Donnelly was our public works person, she planted daylilies along 571, like between the amphitheater area and the creek. And this time of year, the leaves are up, but I think it's Monmouth County comes along and mows that all down before the flowers bloom. And also, if the leaves don't keep going, then the bulbs don't get replenished. So I'm just wondering, I think that is who mows in there. Is there any way to communicate with them and ask them not to mow that section or to put up some kind of little sign there, like do not mow or something?
Where is it?
It's right next to the road and kind of starting at the area if you would come out from the amphitheater. And then all the way down almost to where the bridge is for the creek going under the road. Yeah.
But I believe what happens there is that is county, traffic department, territory, anything 25 feet from the center line, I believe, something like that.
Yes, I think they do. They mow it. And so we just need to get them not to mow it.
We can certainly ask. I would tell you that it's highly unlikely that they will get their crews not to. But
right, I would think it would never get communicated down to the person actually doing the mowing. That's why I'm thinking if we just.
Well, I'm not sure they would try because they have a legal obligation to keep those rights of way clear.
They might pull
the
signs down.
They will, however, they'll remove the signs. I said we'll give him a call, but I just...
Old hands.
Ms. Parrott?
Hi, Maureen Parrott again. I have a couple of very positive things. One is that I agree, Solaris. It's right in front of my house. They came on Saturday and did the triangle, and I was amazed because I've lived there 29 years, and I think... I'm not going to say they're going to do it this way every time, but I would assume they would... They did a really good job. They actually took the thing, whatever, the whacker, and took, like, where the curb and the road meet, where there's grass growing, and they actually went and got that out. And I sat there, like, I watched them, and I was just amazed. So I would just say, you know, I'm very happy that you got them to do it. Just another point is, another positive point is that the Woodland Trail, I just wanted to say that I have walked that from the end of Pine and then all the way to 571, you know, down there, and it is beautiful. So I guess that's the Environmental Commission. I would want to thank, it's really a lovely thing to have in town.
We're doing it for the children.
Well, future generations.
And then just a question, when the wood chipper comes, when Alan comes and does the wood,
the part of the path.
You know, that sounds like the name of a horror movie, right? When the wood chipper comes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Go watch Fargo sometime.
Fargo. Yeah. Yeah, I did see Fargo. When I don't know if they can he can do this or not, but the one part of the path that's close to like Tamara, it's like on the side of where my house is. It's in the past several years. It's really muddy almost all the time. And I thought maybe at one point I think somebody had put wood chips down, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, wasn't there a huge mountain there?
Oh, you're not talking about the trail. You're talking about the
path.
You're talking about the path.
The path next to my house.
Yeah, that goes to the school.
That goes to the school.
Yeah, years ago.
Actually, it's really big.
There was a bridge, but then at some point there was a big pile of
Well, there was, but it's still muddy, and maybe he could put, if that would be appropriate, you know, to put more down, because a lot of people walk it, and it's just muddy for them.
I'll point out it's not, again, with firefighters, it's not he, it's she, but we can certainly ask.
Ask.
Kelly, can we get wood chips over there?
Oh,
you can ask Alan to drop them. Yes.
Okay.
I was thinking Alan being he.
Ah, okay.
He is. It is his first name.
Yes, yes. She meant she didn't mean public work, she meant Alan, which is a he. Okay. Any more comments, questions? Reasons not to go out and drink? No? Okay, do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Second. Aye.
Peggy was second. Sorry, Ms. Wilkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any no? Any abstain?
No, we don't want to go.
10:22.